Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest thing on the internet, Radio FUBAR, with your hosts, Matt Reefer.
Sorry, I tried to spit roast your mom.
Pete Johnson.
Guys, come on. Can't we have one night without a hate crime?
And me, Mr. Producer.
It would be rude not to eat her pie, which I assume is not only hot, but also moist. Although, hopefully not flaky.
I was actually starting to get a little bit worried there for a minute.
What?
Well, first of all, the computer locked up, so I had to restart it. So that's why we're starting a few minutes late. But then second of all,
and they're going to ramp up the festivities this year with some live Jew harp band.
Start calling Mary Johnny Appleseed.
Plow's
now the euphemism for just fucking that pussy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Plowed that chick. You went right in the gap and smashed it.
Well, you say, okay, that's the generation gap thing. Because
I've never heard that. The other one. Fuck is this bullshit?
Oh, that would happen to me even.
The one time you visited me down at MD Greens, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, these guys look like they're 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they look like they're dressed like aliens. There's like dudes walking around in pastel polos and shit.
Oh, I could deal with that. Talking about they actually. But then again, if you think back a generation before mine, when my dad was my age, he looked old as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And even, remember we were watching the old emergency TV show a couple of weeks ago where he just ran around, and they would come on and they would show this dude and I would picture an age in my head, and then they would get on the radio and say, we have a guy here in his mid-30s, and I'm like, no. That guy's 50-something.
He dresses like a fucking dude.
No, just the way he looks in the face. Life has kicked his ass.
The thing I noticed about that show and just the period of the 70s was that there was way less shame over bald spots. Way less shame.
Yeah, that didn't start until the early 80s when they came out with the spray-on hair.
And the toupees,
yeah.
Like, you're bald technology. In the head and you weren't automatically unattractive, that sort of thing. It was like, oh, he's losing his hair. Oh, well.
Right. But when you were 40, you looked like you were 50. You know, when you were 30, you looked like you were dead, you know. But,
cocaine's a hell of a drug, man.
And it's not me. You know, it's not me saying, you know, kids look younger nowadays. It started, I think, with my generation.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know, maybe the Hiroshima radiation finally reached us.
So what you're saying is that the youth of our country has been irreparably mutated because we bombed the shit out of the Japanese.
It's gotta be Chernobyl.
No,
because Chernobyl happened after I was born.
It can still take effect.
Right. But anyway.
Can you move shit with your mind yet? That's the question.
Nope.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Frank. Because he's technically correct with that.
I know.
For those of you listening, Frank gave me the finger and said, yeah, I can move something with my mind. And I'm like, it took me like 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, fuck you, you fucking dick.
Yeah, that's an old fucking joke. I have superpowers. Oh, really? Yeah, I can move stuff with my mind. Like what? Like my hand. Hi.
I've never heard
phrasing.
That. Yep.
You must state the question correctly to get the answer which you want. Think like a lawyer.
My responses are limited. You must ask the correct question.
Right.
It's one of my favorite lines in any movie.
But
it's a very simple one, but it outlines the whole aspect of that movie.
Almost like it was a plot device, man.
Oh, shut up. Is this make fun of Matt Reefer Day?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Have you not listened to this show?
Every once in a while, you slip back into Matt Madden. Every once in a while.
Yo, you've never heard about this?
Matt, I analyzed it one time, and it got us
talking about you talking about the master of the obvious?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're in the middle of a situation, somebody makes a joke, and Matt goes, it's actually funny, because... And then he explains the joke back, so you go, thanks, Matt. And he's like, what's that mean? I'm like, you're like John Madden of real life.
That's your new nickname, Matten.
I've had that one for a while. About 6 years, 7 years now.
See, it's funny because it's a combination of Matt and Madden.
He broke himself of it, though. Once he realized what he was doing,
He listened to himself on the show, I think.
It wasn't that it was annoying. It was always just kind of redundant. It was always like that, yep.
That was a joke. Yep.
Yeah, we were there 5 minutes ago. Where were you?
We all laughed together. You were there, too. You were laughing. At least he appreciates a good joke.
Even if it's directed at me.
Except for that shitty ass movie we were watching. That was a joke, and I didn't appreciate it one bit.
That's a whole different style. That's a sick joke. That's like something that, like, you know, I think Zack Snyder's secretly the Joker.
Okay. For those that obviously don't know, because you weren't here watching TV with us earlier, we watched perfectly legally and
completely legitly.
The first, 45 minutes?
About an hour and a half, actually.
Yeah. You're about halfway through there.
You were just getting up to the action. You said, okay, I'm done. We need to go do the show and eat and everything.
Well, no, I was just done with the movie. I couldn't take it anymore.
Was it the scene with the Flash that broke you? Yeah, that's where it lost me, too.
Overall, watching it, like the hate and everything, and I'm not just being contrarian, I still give it a 6 out of 10. I'm 100% glad I never paid money to see it in the theater.
It's not like dog shit bad.
No, it's not wiping my ass with it. Ghostbusters bad.
It's just poorly put together.
They didn't tell me if I didn't like the movie, I was racist.
Right, yes.
I have the permission to not like this movie. I'm like, ultimately, I still enjoyed key components of it. I will give it a 6 out of 10, because there were parts of that movie I genuinely enjoyed.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't got there yet, because literally, I'm like, I would have walked out of the theater by now.
I
think that might have been the thing, because they put the hook in the title of the movie and they didn't have to build up to the hook. We already knew it was going to be Batman versus Superman. And then they spend the first, how much further do they go into the movie? Setting up Batman versus Superman. I'm like, yeah.
Like I said upstairs, we did that to it. We kept saying that when they announced it, all the nerds, I say that's the royal we. We all did that to him. Like, you better explain this shit. Because Frank Miller had to do it over 4 different graphic novels and blah, blah, blah. And it was an alternate universe, too, so it was a different Superman and everything. How are you going to do this in the same universe?
Well,
that's why we got an hour and a half of backstory to lead up to the confrontation.
But let me bring this point up
here. They need a new screenwriter as well.
Well, that's Zack Snyder.
Or they need to ignore the fans. Those are your two options.
He was the director. He was the director and he wrote it, I believe.
He helped write it.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him full credit for that script, because there was parts in it that were good.
Yeah. That's that's fair.
Upstairs, Michael Bay should have done this movie, it would have probably been better.
Considering the gratuitous amount of explosions you've missed out on by refusing to see if you're not going to see the second half, no, Michael Bay should not have done, because then the first hour and a half would have just been everything blowing up. That data module Bruce Wayne used, that would have blown up.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman literally would have blown up.
Okay, I haven't made it to Wonder Woman yet, so just...
Yeah,
I think you have.
No.
You've seen her.
She's there.
Okay, well, I haven't seen her in the costume yet.
As you understood when we talked to the girls last time,
it's almost like she wants him to know.
Yeah.
Right. But no, I...
Like I said, There were genuinely points of that movie that were enjoyable to me. Alfred was decent. Jeremy Irons did a really decent job with that.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is not by far not the worst part of that
part
movie.
In fact, he's one of
the things that keeps redeeming it when you just want to give up.
Yeah,
you got to remember, I was actually concerned about him as Bruce Wayne, not him as Batman, and he's doing a fairly decent job of Bruce Wayne.
Like the scene where he pretended to be tipsy in the server room,
right?
Like. I would believe he's actually a little tipsy. Right. Like even the "I like your shoes" comment when he's leaving.
Yeah,
the little icing on the cake is, oh, I'm not even going to pay attention to that guy. He was definitely drunk.
Right.
Comments and, on my shoes. He's a fucking horn dog billionaire. They come.
Yeah.
I'm not really having a lot of problem with the characters.
No.
And the, you know, the individual characters.
No.
Really, Mopey Superman's not triggering you? Mopey Superman triggers me.
Superman is always mopey.
No.
What do we say? The only person that can really defeat Superman is himself. So they have to make him with the self-doubt and the fucking this, that, and the other. And that's every time they've done Superman in a movie, that's where they've gone.
I think they could have done that internal conflict, but still kept him within the character of hope. Like he's trying to trudge through the hate that he's getting and shit, but he's right. Not. He's being susceptible to it. So it's the public is defeating Superman more than anything.
Right, but that would be defeat the purpose of the movie then. I can't just ignore this, no, because otherwise I become what they're saying I am.
It would defeat the purpose of this movie.
Well, that's what I mean, you know. But, and...
I think we can just all agree that Matt's flashback idea was just terrible, though.
Hey! I'm trying to fix it.
What was that, Navi? Did you say something?
Hey, listen.
Why, what are you saying about the Flash idea?
No.
Five, come on.
Because all we were saying, all you said upstairs was it didn't have to be a dream. And
No. I'm like running the two stories.
It actually doesn't make sense that it was a dream.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm talking about something completely
different.
You'll
have to wait for the later movies, Frank, to explain the dream sequences.
So, what I was saying is my flashback idea was...
What did I say right at the beginning? It's a Bat-NATO, ladies and gentlemen.
As soon as you saw the post-apocalyptic world with Batman running around in it, and then the Flash dream sequence, you're like, they're trying to bait another, like, $13.50 out of me total, aren't they? Bare minimum, like $25 and all. That's 13. Right. They're trying to bait money out of me, you assholes.
Yeah, because I said that right at the beginning. I was like, if this isn't a dream, I'm out.
Yeah. Hilariously, I had the same reaction when I saw that. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then it was a dream. I was like, okay, it's redeemable, but fuck you,
and the only reason I said that is because, you know, I went into it knowing that there were like 900 dream sequences in this movie.
Yeah.
It's going to turn out that the whole movie was a dream sequence, isn't it?
No,
they're going to go into the next movie.
The two dream sequences that are technically one, that's it. That's the dream sequence. That's it. That's the only one in the movie.
No, what I mean is that they're going to go into the next movie. They're going to start the next movie by saying...
That everything that happened in this movie is a dream?
Everything you saw in that movie was a dream. We've actually been working together all along.
With the trailers they released at Comic-Con for the new movie, literally, like, they can't. They literally can't.
Oh, what? They came out with what?
They have the Justice League and Wonder Woman. Maybe The Flash? I don't know if they released The Flash.
Yeah. No.
They're doing a Flash movie now, too?
Yep.
All right, well, I haven't seen the trailer, so... Justice League supposed to be the next one in the series, because obviously this one was, what... Dawn of Justice or whatever.
Yeah. Is it Wonder Woman, though, first? I don't know. I think it's Wonder Woman first, and then it's Justice League.
Right, but are they going to make that part of the, like,
Marvel's
doing, where it's going to be, like, part of the canon of the...
Captain America, the First Avenger, is Wonder Woman.
Okay.
It's more of a setup for it than it is the lead-in.
I don't know if I would hate that, because Wonder Woman's had something like 15 different origin stories, and it'd be kind of interesting to see how they go with it.
You see, the lead-in for Avengers was...
It is Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman first.
Yeah.
It's Wonder Woman, then Justice League.
The lead-in for the Avengers, the Here It Comes, was Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Right. Does she get an invisible jet?
I don't
know. That was Iron Man 2. I'm sorry. It was Iron Man 2. And then the setup, the official setup, was Captain America, the First Avenger. And this is, all right, we got the key players established. Let's go.
Right.
Yep.
Then Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Then Avengers.
Does she get her sadomasochistic lasso?
I don't know.
She does use it in this movie.
In this one?
Yeah.
Okay. The lasso of truth, or whatever the hell it was. I think there was an actual name for it.
Or did I think it was the lasso of truth.
The lasso of Misandrio.
Interesting idea, but Wonder Woman's kind of kinky.
She's secretly a dominatrix. Who knew?
You think.
Hey.
Her bullet-deflecting braziers. And-
that was the obsession of the guy that first wrote about her.
Uh-huh.
I know you're not incorrect, because we've actually covered that here.
Right.
But yeah, no.
That was a submissive, but also a dom. Yeah, that's a Wonder Woman writer.
But yeah, no, the Flash thing, the part with the Flash in Batman vs. Superman, it's completely out of place, because you either have to cut it if you're trying to play the lowest common denominator of people who might not know what the Flash is and know that he has that superpower, or you have to put it in there as an Easter egg and allow the fans to extrapolate. You don't have to fucking explain with a dream sequence.
Well, that's what I mean.
It makes no goddamn sense.
It makes no sense that it's
way.
A dream sequence.
Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's like, well, is it a dream? It's not.
Oh, you're saying they should have just had it as time travel, period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically when he wakes up and then he sees the Flash.
He's still awake.
Okay. And then you don't do the second one where he wakes up out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's almost like a poor choice of editing.
Yeah, like because you could leave it as an Easter egg for those that know that the Flash can time travel. As that, and everybody else is like, what the fuck is that? I have no idea what just happened.
Right.
And then we just kind of ignore it and let it go and move forward. Like, that's, like, if you want to do, like, that's how I would have done that.
Yeah. Moved him waking up 10 seconds earlier and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Frank never got to see the animated Justice League from Cartoon Network.
Dude.
I think I might have saw one or two of the episodes.
There's that episode where they were... I think it was the Hawk people had taken over,
uh-huh.
And they were like on the run from them, and they're trying to get into plain clothes. And
the Hawk people, like from Flash Gordon, Hawk people.
No,
like
the, Hawk Girl
and Hawk.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Hawkman,
okay.
Yeah.
And they were running from them, and they're trying to like change into street clothes and everything. And Wally's like, "Wait a minute, what about secret identities?" And literally, without missing a beat, because it's in literally, we have to change these clothes or get caught by the Hawk people again. He just walks up and goes, "Wally West, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, change." What about our secret identities? They were never secret. Get in the fucking clothes.
From Batman, right?
Of course. Yeah. We're
Kevin Conroy voice. Like, yeah. Wally West, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne.
Of course, then again, we are talking about a universe where this is a perfectly good disguise.
Yeah.
I just took my glasses off.
Yeah, you just took his glasses off. Yeah.
Who's that?
That's Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Which, scary face. Okay, Harvey. What did you do with scary face? Use that gun for when scary face comes back.
Have we ever shown you that Batman yet?
Oh, dude.
Well, I've seen one where they were talking like him.
Batman can't stop thinking about sex.
Yeah. That's probably the one where he's talking
probably
about Bane.
No, this one was the one where
she tamed my monster.
Right. I think it's by the same people, but it's the one where Batman's talking to Superman and then Commissioner Gordon shows up.
Oh, and it's like, oh, I love
Where'd he go? You know, because they took the where'd he go? Oh, you should have seen it. Commissioner, you were gone for a minute.
Really went off your rocker when your dad died. That's a lot of talk coming from you with your parents. Why would you say that? That's messed up. You should check out the one with, we can do it on the show because it's mostly audio, but it's Batman confronting Two-Face. And you can't tell the difference between Harvey Gordon and Two-Face. We need to team up. Team up. Literally, you could be me with one hand tied behind your back.
Yeah, that's the one with him on
the
roof.
With the other hand, you could just jerk it. Da, 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 super jerk! Team up. Why?
Yeah.
You're Superman. And the other day, I'm just a rich guy in a rubber suit.
I thought I'd seen all of it. I've never seen that one.
Your search should be College Humor Batman Two-Face, and it should be one of the first videos, and I can help you identify it.
Okay.
And because they're all made by College Humor.
Right. Oh, because I had two fish run together. That's what it was.
Where is Ipanema?
No fucking idea where that country
Why
is.
Why wouldn't they make it? Or was it Pasadena?
What?
No, that's the fucking beast. That's the, not the Beastie Boys, the Beach Boys song.
Oh, the Beach Boys. That's cool.
Harvey, just put the gun down. You're not going to hurt my family.
No. Just the person you love most.
Almost as bad as the one with Scarecrow.
Put the gun down, please.
Seen that one.
God damn it, stop putting the gun in my family, Dad!
We have a winner.
No!
You don't want to hurt the boy, Two-Face.
It's not about what I want. It's about what's fair. See, you thought that we could be decent.
Harvey, thank God you're here. Two-Face took Gordon's boy hostage. Two-Face, you're back.
What are you talking about?
Give up the boy. Nothing fair ever came out of the barrel of a gun.
Turning to the side, ladies and gentlemen.
He knows what happened, right?
Harvey, now you're back. Use that gun you're holding next time Two-Face shows his faces.
Is this because you can only see one half of my face when I'm talking to him?
Harvey, where did you go? Two-Face is back and he looks super pissed.
Yeah. Because I'm Harvey Dent.
Nice try, Two-Face. But your tricks won't work on me. I'm the world's greatest detective.
Batman, Harvey Dent is Two-Face.
What?
Batman, remember you went to save Rachel, but it wasn't Rachel, it was Harvey Dent? Remember half of his face? This half of his face was in the gasoline? Just stop me when you start remembering this.
I want you to know, I'm completely lost.
You really don't remember any of that? Half my face melted, and now I'm insane.
Full disclosure, it's kind of been a crazy day, and this shit's really hot. I kind of go in and out.
This is the guy that beat the Joker.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it.
I used my skills that I learned in the mountains.
Batman, listen. Harvey Dent is Two-Face. They're the same person.
So Harvey used to be Two-Face.
I am Two-Face. I have two faces. Okay? I'm Harvey Dent, and I'm Two-Face. I'm Two-Face, and I'm Harvey Dent. Okay, you know what? Let's start over. What do you see?
Harvey Face.
Good. Now what do you see?
Scary Face.
Okay. Put them both together. What do you see?
Two-Face.
Yes, yes.
What have you done with Harvey and Scary Face? They've done nothing to you.
Okay. Here we go. Right now.
Here we go.
We're doing this. Everybody's going to get the same chance that Rachel got. 50-50.
How can we possibly determine that?
By flipping a fucking coin!
Yeah. Let's just flip a coin. That's heads or tails. We need 50 coins. And then 50 more. 50. 50.
Seriously?
And then my computer will analyze it with science.
I'm going to flip to see if I get to kill you first. It's heads. Which means I can't kill him. Does anybody here object to a redo?
No.
Nope.
Awesome.
I guess that's the end. Scary Face.
Give me my son, dipshit.
Oh,
can we possibly determine that? By flipping a fucking coin.
Right. I love it.
No, you need 50 coins. And then 50 more. And then the computer will analyze them. With science. With my skills that I learned in the mountain.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that one.
That was a really good one.
But, well, I haven't really seen Affleck as Batman except for that one scene in the truck. And that was a dream. So.
Yeah.
Bat. Again, like I said, your cutoff point was like at least probably like 5 minutes and more closer, like 2 minutes from where, all right, here we go.
Well, I think that might be part of the problem. If they can't hook me by the time I want to leave the theater because it's so bad up to this point, why would I want to stick around?
I was hooked with the apocalypse. I was hooked with that because I'm like, oh, they're going straight for this. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was all right with that. Up until that point, I was done. So, like, right after that, and you're like, I'm done. I'm like, oh, they're teasing Darkseid and Apocalypse, and, oh, okay, all right.
All right. But,
and then the Flash scenes, I'm like, I might turn this off. And then the action picked up. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm good.
That's basically.
But then again, maybe it's one of those, maybe me not being as into DC as you two are.
We're not that into DC.
But I was... Like I said, I'm done at this point. I
we're maybe 30% of DC fanboys. Like, there's a fanboy for DC that just loves all things DC, and literally, if you say the word Marvel, it starts that conversation. We're 30% of that.
Well, no,
70% Marvel.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
Fuck yeah.
No, what I mean.
You're what, 20% DC?
I don't even know if I'd go that far. It's not that I hate DC. It's just that I didn't get into comic books in general to the extent that you two have. So
I was never big.
You know, my knowledge of the Superman Batman lore is based more on the movies than comic books.
Batman was, if I was going to pick...
Well, the movies and the TV shows.
If I was going to pick a DC comic book to read, it would be Batman.
Dark Side would have just... If they had tried to do it in a movie at any point, even with the Brendan Ruth one, right over everyone's head. And it's probably the best villain that Superman's had to fight because he can't just
fly really fast and punch him really hard. Yeah.
And laser vision him because, oh, his laser vision is better than mine. And not Bizarro Superman either. This is a separate guy.
Oh, Bizarro Superman was kind of weird because sometimes he would be the good guy and sometimes he would be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually kind of cool. You know, Bizarro Superman wasn't inherently evil. He was just stupid.
An opposite. And contrary.
Right.
The argument I actually heard that Superman was intelligent is exemplified in Bizarro Superman, because he's supposed to be the opposite of Superman. And I'm like, I don't have a direct counter to that other than there might be two different degrees of retardation. And he's just a reflection of it. He's actually a reflection, not the exact opposite.
Right.
He's an inverse reflection.
Bizarro was maybe autistic.
Yeah.
I mean, he was smart enough to be able to control his bodily functions.
So I'm like, if Bizarro is actually a reflection of Superman, if that was his origin, he's literally from a mirror universe in that shit. And he thinks bad is good and smart is dumb. What's that say about Superman right now?
That would be an interesting one if you could figure out how to do Bizarro on the...
They might.
That's the thing. As long as...
Because it falls under that, the only person that can really take out Superman is himself.
No, I agree with you. I just don't trust Zack Snyder to write that.
Nothing can take out Superman. That's the problem.
And that's why they created Bizarro, I think. And that's also why they
He beats Bizarro. He tricks him. Because they had to make the guy strong enough to beat Superman fucking stupid in order for Superman to be able to beat him.
And it's also the reason why Superman has villains like Darkseid and Apocalypse. And
Matt, isn't it great that all of Superman's strongest enemies except Darkseid have a weakness? that he can easily exploit with his powers or his abilities as they are, and he doesn't ever have to strive and do
ever.
More.
He doesn't have to do anything besides actually think about it and fly really fast.
He doesn't have to invent anything, discover anything,
hit it
fight
really hard.
Harder, get injured, or anything like that. He just has to...
Use that one power. It's like rock, paper, scissors it. Yep.
Isn't that interesting?
It's like...
That's such a compelling story.
Right. Now, the computer would be a fun one, too.
Oh, Brainiac? Brainiac is like... And again, that's like out of the Lex Luthor thing.
Right.
It is that Lex is the ultimate brain versus ultimate brawn. It's the unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
And I think that's the other problem that I'm having with this movie is that I don't like this interpretation of Lex Luthor.
No, you're
to this
right.
Point.
No,
I had hope that he would do something clever with it, and it just seems like they turned him maniacal.
Well, it sounds like the way the movie is edited right now, it looks like he's just, like you said, he's a megalomaniac, but he's also fucking insane.
It's almost like he's a critique on nerds.
All right.
Almost like that Indian guy in this Ghostbusters movie.
Huh?
There's one of the fucking teasers that Matt sent to me is literally the new Ghostbusters are trying out their gidgets and gizmos and gadgets
right
in the alley. And I shit you not, I'm not going to do it verbatim because I can't.
Oh, don't tell me they have an Apu
but
in the fucking
Ghostbusters.
The
paraphrasing of it, and I'm going to get as close as I can to it, is he comes up. He's got a little fucking dinky Vespa scooter parked behind him, and he says something along the lines of, "You girls are never going to get that stuff to work. Everyone knows girls aren't good at science." And Melissa Meatball McCarthy turns around and ray guns his motorcycle and blows up his personal property as a fucking response. And then Kristen Wiig goes, "Yeah, bitch!" And I went, that's the fucking movie. Never, never paying a dime for that.
That's a felony.
I'm actually going to find the link for people to pirate that and spread it
a
everywhere.
A decent prosecutor could make the case of attempted murder on that.
Yeah.
Or assault.
At minimum.
Damage of personal property. Vandalism, maybe bare minimum vandalism. Bare minimum vandalism.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, what the fuck is this stupid bullshit?
Willful
that
destruction
guy's not
of property.
Indian. He's actually made out of straw.
Willful destruction of property valued over $300. That's a felony.
I was like, why did you need that scene in the movie unless you knew someone was going to say that about this movie? You either wrote the political statement in the movie, or after the hate you got, you went back and reshot this to shit in people's mouths.
And yes, everybody, we've decided that we're not going to go see Ghostbusters.
Ever.
We're going to wait until some form or fashion of free version comes out of it, such as not even waiting for it to come out on cable. Because
a completely legal format, of course. Frank would never imply or encourage piracy of any kind, especially the internet variety.
Of course not. We'll figure out some way to watch it for free. Maybe
let's just leave it worded that way. Don't ever pay a dime to see that movie. Right. And if your cable company picks it up, call them and threaten to cancel. Bury this movie.
Having said that, we haven't seen it.
No.
I listened to the Geek Embassy version and they lauded it. It was like 10 out of 10, 4 stars, Oscar gold. And
are you serious?
Ladies. The bias. You have no constructive criticism. They eventually did have some, but it was on like placements of dialogue and shit. And I'm like, really?
Wow.
All right. Is this how the shoe feels when it's on the other foot? Is that the goal of this movie? To get me
now,
to feel pissed?
Even Mike from Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks came out and said he kind of enjoyed it.
I've heard it from some people, but it's always kind of, or slightly, or it was okay. And it's like, but you picked up what is arguably a Pantheon item, and you did an okay job with it. And not even a competent job with it. You did okay. Good work, Paul Feig. We're going to hang that right here on the refrigerator, right next to all the other hopes and dreams that have been dashed by corporate greed and shitty writing and directors.
That would be like taking the Ten Commandments and making an okay movie out of it.
Like, Ghostbusters has made $144 million or $122 million.
Three weeks.
God fucking damn it.
No, it was over $400 million to produce.
Okay, good.
No, the budget was $144 million.
What?
Yeah.
That is not what I read a week ago. I heard 400 something.
Well, that was the budget. Hold on, let me see.
That does not go into marketing costs or anything like that.
I hope not. Maybe Papa put the bill.
They brought back Ecto coolers for this movie. They had to go talk to High C.
Oh, dude from Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks was happy as fuck about that. He loved those things.
The Red Letter Media review.
Oh, dude, they're getting trashed on Crystal Skull vodka and fucking
Ecto. Dan Aykroyd's vodka, the Crystal Skull vodka. They mixed it with Ecto Cooler,
dude,
to do their review.
It's great.
Fucking Mike got trashed.
he was almost falling off his fucking stool by the end of that shit.
I can't remember what the one they just reviewed, but they just reviewed another one where, like, the first scene he's picking up the Crystal Skull, he starts on court and he goes, "No, that might not be a good idea." And he puts it back down because he got sloppy.
I never even thought about doing that, like putting the vodka in the Ecto cooler. I was like, shit, that's...
Well, the vodka's $50 a bottle.
I wouldn't put Crystal Skull. We're putting, like, fucking Stoli or Absolute in there, but...
Star Trek Beyond dropped a brutal 69% on its second Friday.
Well, that happens on
its second Friday. It dropped 69%. Okay.
To $6.75 million.
So it still had a strong opening. Despite being panned by critics, it still had a stronger opening.
Yeah.
About 3 days ago from The Nation, I'm popping this up because the article, the headline is "The Ghostbusters Trolls Were Right." So let's see what this says, because most of the articles that we read last week, remember, were about, well, it's, you know, like Pete was saying, it was an okay movie, and it was a really powerful statement on the, you know.
Ultimately, it wasn't as bad as we thought. 9 out of 10. That's not how you judge movies, dipshit. Look at Roper. He did it right.
And then look at the Red Letter Media.
It almost sounds like they're saying...
Afraid.
No, it's not that they're afraid, but they're basically saying, well... We're going to give it 8 points because they tried with women.
Rather than critically...
Right.
Yeah.
And so basically what you're doing is you're hurting the cause you claim to be purporting.
That's the best argument I've heard out of that movie.
So Paul Feig and Gersh Kunstman sucked a lot of D to get those reviews, is what you're saying.
Oh, Gersh Kunstman did a review of this?
No, I'm just implying they probably hang out.
Probably.
I think, you know, they had some squibs on set, and Paul Feig probably got PTSD from...
The sound of the blood packs was deafening, and the splatters gave me traumatic flashbacks to Vietnam, where I never was.
The original Ghostbusters was neither the most lucrative film release in 1984, nor the year's biggest social breakthrough. Those titles went to Beverly Hills Cop, the first movie starring a black actor to conquer the U.S. box office.
What? Read that again, because you kind of muddled.
The biggest release, or the most lucrative film released in 1984, nor the year's biggest social breakthrough. Those titles went to Beverly Hills Cop, the first movie starring a black actor to conquer to the U.S. box office. Another film, another movie that they don't need to redo.
Ever. Like, and here's the question. Who would they get? Who do you replace Eddie Murphy with? Eddie Murphy in his prime.
I don't think you can. Like,
if they cast Kevin Hart, I'm going to assassinate him.
I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah.
No offense to Kevin Hart. You're not Eddie Murphy in his prime. You're not.
In the mid 80s? Fuck no.
No.
You're not fresh off of Raw, man. No.
I can't think of anybody.
There's no, like, out of the comedy terms, if you could convince Dave Chappelle.
Even an actor.
Like, you could.
No, he's too old.
Listen.
Nope. Different style of comedy.
Way different style of comedy.
Kevin Hart is, like, the closest, but he's still not Eddie. He's
he's a really good storyteller, but Eddie Murphy had you laughing at the situation more than anything.
Right.
You laughed all the way through the joke. It wasn't a setup and payoff.
Eddie Murphy had the ability to make you laugh with a look.
He was describing the barbecue, and he's describing the fat auntie falling down the stairs. Oh, Lord Jesus, save me! Oh, Jesus, help me! And she always stops halfway down, like every three steps. Oh, Lord Jesus, save me!
Oh, help me, Lord! Help me, Lord!
That shit,
yeah.
Nobody can duplicate that currently.
Right. And that might be part of the problem, too. I mean, look, who would you, in any movie that Aykroyd did, who would you get to replace him?
Come over here and give Auntie a smooch.
No, Auntie! That shit!
The fat dude from fucking Melissa McCarthy's TV show?
No.
Would you get to replace?
Replace who?
Billy Cardell. Dan Aykroyd.
In what movie?
Any movie. His comedic roles.
What were Dan Aykroyd's strong comedic roles other than Ghostbusters, though? And I don't mean to dismiss him outright. No. My point was more, I never took Dan Aykroyd as a strong comedic actor in the movie.
Well, no, on that, Dan Aykroyd was always an ensemble player. That's what he's known for. He's never headlined a comedy.
Here's a better one. Who are you going to replace Bill Murray with?
Exactly. Well, that's what I was getting to.
Oh, you're talking about recasting Ghostbusters?
Right. If we were going to recast even men.
They did that with that Facebook picture, though.
Which was Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart. No.
Paul Rudd.
And
it's either between Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
For Winston?
Yeah.
I could see Dave Chappelle doing that. Yeah.
He has the calm and cool.
Yeah. The ability to pull off the...
He does not have to be loud and obnoxious, dude.
No, he doesn't. No, but Winston was a straight man. He wasn't...
Dave Chappelle could do that.
Dave Chappelle can do straight man.
I know he could, but you don't need Dave Chappelle in that role.
Because you've seen Half-Baked, and he was kind of the straight man in Half-Baked most of the time in that movie.
Right, but he's also a comedian. You don't need a comedian for Winston.
True, but then back to the question of who do you replace him with?
I don't know.
Like, you could say you're wasting Dave Chappelle, but he can still deliver. You'd be able to use his comedic timing and shit, though.
Right, but I don't think you need him for that role. I mean, people would go into the movie expecting Dave Chappelle.
So your argument is you're wasting Dave Chappelle.
Right, I mean, they would expect Dave Chappelle doing what Dave Chappelle does.
But they'd probably also expect Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd to do what Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd do. But
and now they're using Will Ferrell for Bill Murray?
No, this is just a suggestion. I don't know who's.
They were going to recast and revamp and reboot, not just duplicate the original formula of four straight men.
Well, I'm talking about the dynamics of the characters, you know.
Because I give them this. All right, let's say you reboot Ghostbusters. Comedy has changed since Ghostbusters, and it did work deadpan. Will Ferrell's really good at He's good at man-child deadpan.
Right.
Paul Rudd's really good at sarcastic deadpan. And I can't remember who the person was off the top of my head.
It was, when you saw it, you're like, oh, my God.
That could work. You were probably like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. My reaction was, that could work. That could have worked. Why didn't they do that? Can't remember who the fourth person was. And Kevin Hart and Dave Chappelle, I didn't really like Kevin Hart in it. He's more like populist. Right.
They really need almost a non-comedian actor to play Winston. Because Winston, you know, even the guy who played Winston wasn't a comedian. He was an actor.
Fuck it.
Vince Vaughn. That's who it was.
No, there's another one, and it wasn't Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
And he's sarcastic deadpan, too. So you already got Paul Rudd for that. So no.
Yeah, pick one.
My phone was charging, so I can't bring it down. But there was another one.
You also need someone that can pull off the Egon character.
Let's get Michael B. Jordan. He's doing anything these days. Oh, you fucked up one Marvel franchise? Welcome to another.
Michael B. Jordan, he's the one that did the...
He was in Creed, and he played the Human Torch in the new Fantastic Four.
That's what I meant.
And they cast him to be...
I have not seen Creed, so I don't know. Well, I've actually heard he was good in Creed.
Yeah, he did a great job. So, of course, he flubbed in one Marvel franchise, and they're going to make him the villain in the Black Panther franchise.
There you go! That's the face you make when shit like that happens!
Cody's like, that wasn't his fault. Fantastic Four. I'm like, I don't care! He has Creed. He can be a serious actor now. Right. He can do other shit. You don't need to pull him back in.
Maybe he wanted to do it.
get another unknown black actor, though.
What does he have to be a black man for? Because he's from Africa, man?
No, because the character was black. Can you imagine if they whitewashed?
That's ever stopped them before.
The shit they got for Doctor Strange when they fucking cast Tilda Swinton as the fucking Swami or whatever.
Yeah.
And all of it because the movie is partially financed by China. And to actually portray Tibetans in a good way would upset China. Right. So China actually came down and said, no, no good Tibetans. So I don't even think there's a Chinese person in the movie. They're all fucking Japanese and shit.
Probably.
And Chinese and...
Don't get me wrong. I'm still going to go see the fuck out of Doctor Strange.
Oh, no, so am I.
Oh, dude. Like, I saw the new trailer for Doctor Strange.
I don't have a problem with him changing stuff.
Yeah, no.
You know.
It's the same argument that I make towards...
I just think that there's some movies that you need not to touch. Especially comedies. Imagine if they try to redo Stripes today.
Oh, hell no.
It wouldn't work.
How do you make a fucking modern... The Russians, what do you do? Is it the Chinese?
It's the North Koreans, you know? Who are you going to
piss off? Apparently, you got to piss off the North... I guess they did that
with The Interview or whatever the hell that movie was.
I guess they technically already did remake it then. Which I didn't mind The Interview.
No, I didn't mind
it. It was entertaining.
It was a frat boy comedy. I didn't mind
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, no.
It was entertaining.
I didn't hate it.
He's honey dicking you.
But
Seth Rogen.
That was the other fourth one.
Seth Rogen could do a straight man. He can do just straight man. He doesn't have to be laugh him, chuck him up. He's done a couple serious roles. That's why I said it could work. It could work.
Picture Seth Rogen as actually Ray Stans.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
Actually, no, I take that back. I would actually picture him more as the Murray character of that. And then Will Ferrell as the childlike.
I'd put Paul Rudd as the sleazeball.
Right. But I mean.
Oh, that would actually work. Paul Rudd is the sleazeball.
Because he has that swarthy, I'm so confident, I'm so cocky. Right.
I bet that
what I was getting to was Will Ferrell as the childlike, this is cool as fuck.
Yeah.
If you're going to use those two, you know.
My sub in was still, I would have actually taken Will Ferrell out, and I would have replaced it. He can keep the accent. Peter Serfkanowicz.
Who?
I don't know that. I'm
one hint, NovaCorps.
Oh, that guy.
The guy that's in a lot of shit and you never remember his name because he's nearly always the same.
Oh, you got the guy who got his dick message. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got my dick message.
Not John C. Reilly.
Right.
Nor Chris Pratt. The guy that got the dick message.
He was, the head of the security.
Yeah, the head of NovaCorps. Yeah, yeah. Right.
The guy that's Peter Serkanowicz.
The one that they were trying to decide if he was going to end up being Nova, what's his name?
Nova Prime.
No, that's the leader of the planet. Wasn't there a superhero based off of Nova that they had Nova in the name?
Nova is a superhero part. It's part of the...
That Nova was a prime.
I think he was.
Well, no, they were calling Glenn Close's character Nova Prime, being the person in charge of Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think she's, like, in the story, she gets killed or something.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the Earth Nova actually becomes Nova Prime.
But... Peter Serfkanowicz, who was the guy that got crushed, that was like,
right.
I can't hold it, Rocket. That guy, prolific. You never know he's in shit until it's too late, and he either does a great job and you laugh, or you do a great job and he blends into the scene. I was literally sitting up there waiting for the package from a new job, watching Valkyrie, the shitty Tom's, let's wash out the German and do completely weird accents. And I'm like, who's playing Hitler? Oh my God, that's Peter Serfkanowicz. The same guy that did a fucking spot on Parks and Rec and did a couples retreat and all these funny roles. The voice of Darth Maul. That was not Ray Park. That was Peter Serfkanowicz.
I know that wasn't
He's
Ray Park.
He's everywhere. He does everything. And I'm like, holy shit, that's Peter Serfkanowicz.
Could you see him sitting there? They lose me after the bunker scene. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No.
When he gets the casting.
Remember the end of Blazing Saddles? when they're, when all the extras are in the cafeteria.
Yes.
And the one dude's talking to the dude dressed up as Hitler, and he goes, "Hey, how's your role going?" He goes, "Great, but they lose me after the bunker scene."
Gotcha. Gotcha. Gotcha.
You're still not getting it, are you?
No, I remember what you're talking about.
The joke is they kill Hitler.
Remember,
I know therefore, this.
No, the remember, actor. Hitler kills himself in the bunker.
I know this.
So there, they wouldn't need him anymore.
I got.
So the joke is he's describing this as an everyday occurrence in the cafeteria set in the fake movie Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
All right.
You get it yet?
Yes, I understand.
I don't think he gets it.
I don't think he gets it. I think he's just agreeing to move the conversation.
No,
along.
No, I totally.
Whatever, Matt doesn't get it. We can move on.
Whatever.
Fuck you guys. Just one. Now it is pick on Matt, apparently. Frank's on beer three. It's time to pick on Matt.
No.
No, you realize Hitler committed suicide in his bunker, right?
Yes.
So they wouldn't need him anymore after that.
Yes.
In the movie, after the bunkers.
So what's the joke?
The joke is it's a completely ridiculous statement in the...
It's ridiculous that they wouldn't need him anymore? Yeah. That's the joke.
No, it's ridiculous that he would... nonchalantly.
I don't think he gets it.
Well,
it's actors.
Yeah, he's an actor. He's not actually... Do you get the joke?
Yes.
Yet? What's the joke then?
And apparently,
I'm literally just fucking with you.
It means
I wanted him to get the self doubt. No, you're right.
The joke is his job is over and he gets to go home after the.
See, now
machine.
He's bullying you.
Yes, I know that's the joke. I know it's a conversation between two people that would never have this conversation, and it's ridiculous that someone would ask him. Well, how's your day going? Well, they're not going to need me afterwards. And it was like, well, that's obvious because fucking Hitler killed himself. Duh. I get this. I completely get this.
He doesn't get the hidden joke.
I think you're right.
No, he's going to flip me off and flip tables and shit. There's one thing that pisses him off. It's pretending Matt's stupid. Like...
Especially when
he would agree with it begrudgingly, right. But that is his trigger.
Say, that's part of the problem, though, is that when he finally figures out that you've been fucking with him the entire time.
Yeah, then he finally he laughs, but is angry at the same time.
Right.
Euphoric. Cathartic, if you will.
My esophagus is green. It's working its way out slowly.
No, that was my sub, and I'm like, I don't see Will Ferrell. They don't need a man-child in the group. And Peter Sefkanowicz on Parks and Rec played a British man-child. He was royalty that was rich, and he was a man-child. So they had Star-Lord, ironically enough, who was on the show, was the only person able to actually, like, communicate with him.
That's
and
awesome.
Convince, like, they were playing with remote control helicopters in the lot in front of Buckingham.
Oh, nice.
And shit like that. Like, that's the shit. It's like, hey, can we get ice cream? Yeah, can we get ice cream? And the other guy's like, yeah, I guess we can go get ice cream. He's talking to two fully grown men. And one of them's like a multi-millionaire.
I think, well, except for the multi-millionaire.
Oh, us?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the end of the I guess the end of that storyline is eventually what's his name? Ben something. No, that's his name on the show. I know you know who I'm talking about. He played the brother from Step Brothers.
Yep, yep. Yeah,
for the people at home too. I forget his fucking name. I feel bad about that. But eventually he nudges Andy Dwyer, whose real name is Chris Pratt. There we go. Chris Pratt. He's like, "Could you just look, I hate to be rude, but we need to get down to business." And Chris Pratt goes, "Oh, yeah, we have some charities, and it's really good." He's like, "Oh, I get asked to donate to so many charities, though. I don't know if any of them are any good, though." And Chris Pratt goes, "Ours is really good. All right, I'll donate some money to you. We'll get this worked out, but I need you over here with me hanging out." And that's when Chris Pratt went and shot Guardians of the Galaxy. So he was over playing with those two British man children setting up a charity. Like, oh, they crashed the $300 remote control helicopters. They crashed them.
Nice.
All right. Other movies they don't need to remake. Beetlejuice.
Yes, we
but
do.
But they
not,
are.
They're making a sequel to it.
No, they're not. Well, if they are, they're not using Michael Keaton because he said he's out.
Oh, well then. The last time I heard anything about it was a sequel with
Michael. Like, that stopped them before.
Right.
Yeah, no, Beetlejuice is totally one of the ones you cannot... it's not that you can't. I just wouldn't recommend
it. Michael Keaton's getting a reboot or is coming in on something else, though, I thought.
I could...
No, he was coming in on another project.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
It might have even been just scheduling conflict, that sort of thing.
No, he just said he's out. He said the ship sailed. She can't do it at this point.
Another movie I just don't get.
What? Beetlejuice?
I'm not begrudging it. I sit there and I'm like, I don't know when to laugh. Hey, there's girls in here. Isn't that funny?
Actually, dudes. it was Michael Keaton's character that was the least important to the movie. It was basically about the family and the two ghosts, the husband and wife ghosts.
All right, take him out. When do you laugh?
Never. It's just a dark fucking.
And then my reply when he's on screen, I don't know really when to laugh.
But even then, he's only in 30% of the movie.
Like, if you take Michael Keaton and his character out of that movie, it's basically an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
One of the better ones.
Made by Tim Burton. Tim Burton did that, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
But not a movie you need to redo.
No, I agree. I totally agree.
Oh, wait, no, the hell scene. The hell scene was funny. Not with Beetlejuice in it. When you're looking at all the people around and how they died.
Yeah.
Even getting a little bit newer. Imagine if they tried to come out with a remake. I'm just talking about straight remakes here. I'm not talking about, or remakes, reboots, whatever you want to call them. Bill and Ted.
Yeah,
They're doing that, though.
No, they're coming out with a third one.
Saying people, things that don't need sequels.
No, things that don't need to be reboot.
Oh, well, yeah. That's easy then. Stargate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let it die. I don't mean bad.
No, I mean good movies.
Yeah, no, Stargate, yeah.
I'm talking about Stargate. It's a good movie.
Stargate is a good movie.
Right.
Let it die as in it got its movie,
it got
a really good one-of movie, really good series that proliferated and gave the fans enjoyment.
And don't worry, we're going to go right from this into movies that we would kind of like to see redone. But, I mean, there's just, Caddyshack. Imagine if they tried to do Caddyshack today.
Yeah, no.
It wouldn't even translate.
Airplane. We talked about that last week.
Airplane did, and it sucked.
The people that work at golf courses now are the sons.
Airplane sucked?
No, listen to me. Listen, they made a remake of that, and they bastardized the concept.
When did they make a remake of Airplane?
Called Snakes on a Plane. It's also called Soul Plane. It's the one with like
I don't even count that.
I think that's too
completely different. I don't even count that.
No, I mean trying to actually do Airplane.
No, I got you.
That is Soul really Plane unfair. Wasn't about the ship.
Soul Plane wasn't about the airplane potentially crashing and shit. It was about
I read some of the things of the actual director and writer. They were like, "Well, yeah, we were just trying to updates Airplane for the urban culture so that they could have their movie like that too." That's literally what they said about that.
Well, I don't think they made enough of a connection.
I never took that impression.
Yeah, and Scary Movie was supposedly the spiritual successor to Men in Tights.
Right, mm-hmm. But what I'm talking about...
And I slapped those guys in the mouth.
Right. Oh, I agree with you, right. Yeah.
Because even if you like Scary Movie... No.
Right.
No.
When I mean reboot or remake, I'm talking about just basically lifting the entire script like they tried to do with Ghostbusters.
And keeping
the same name.
Let's brush out the humor and the good characters. We'll cast women. It'll sell like hotcakes.
You know, there's just certain movies that don't need to be... Imagine if they try to remake any of the Mel Brooks movies or Monty Python movies today.
Well, there'd be rioting in the streets, and there'd be mass hysteria.
Let's just lock away the Monty Python shit.
You'd have the Crimson Permanent Insurance Company running down
the... You watched that earlier today. Yeah. That's fresh in his mind.
All right. I actually, about 10 minutes after you left, I stopped it, because even then I was like, I can't watch Monty Python alone.
No. No one can. It is enjoyable.
You need somebody else to laugh with you.
Yeah. Because you're like...
You need reassurance that was actually funny.
Yeah, you're not the idiot. Yeah, that you're not just a moron laughing at stupid shit. They're like, no, okay, at least my sense of humor does track on. I think that's funny. Okay, yeah. Yeah, no, the Monty
Unless you have something else you'd rather do. I'd much rather read a book, sir.
But then again, too, The Meaning of Life is kind of one of their drier movies.
Mm-hmm.
It got pretty serious at times.
Right.
Even the scene where death comes for all the people at the dinner. Because she served canned salmon.
Yeah.
Which, that's like the joke, and then they're being led to their death, their doom. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, but what you don't get there is that they're already dead. But, no, that is one of their drier, or less funny movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got wacky segments, but all in all, I think it's actually one of my least favorite
out of theirs, yeah.
Movies, of the movies.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree with you.
You know what? I think somebody could take another stab at Life of Brian and modernize that a little bit. I wouldn't mind, because that was one of their dirtier movies, and it was good.
Right.
If they wrote original jokes into it, I wouldn't mind. What?
I think Life of Brian was their first movie that they ever did.
I don't know.
I think
but
so.
Life of Brian, of the four, or of the four movies? Holy Grail, Life of Brian, The Meaning of Life. And I thought they did one more.
Is there only three?
My only problem with the Life of Brian was that even with the remastered digital update and all that other bullshit, the audio is still shit.
I thought they did four.
And the picture is still shit enough that it actually almost ruins the experience for me. So that's why I wouldn't mind if somebody modernized it a little bit.
And well, the funny thing is, you wouldn't even really need to rewrite it all that much.
No.
And now for something completely different? They're claiming that as a movie. I wonder if that's just a best of the TV show.
There's some in there that, man, I'd really love it to be updated, but then I don't want it to be updated. Like the fucking, when they're bashing the People's Front of Judea. Or the Judean People's Front. Or the People's Front of Judea. The bloody
right.
Judean People's Front.
Well, the thing about Life of Brian is, what of the jokes would you necessarily need to update? Because it was a period piece.
Right.
I mean, you might need to modernize a couple of the jokes just to basically bring the references out of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of 1979 when the movie was made. The inside jokes. But other than that, the writing was brilliant.
Who threw that stone?
And for if you're listening to the show and you have not seen The Life of Brian, don't listen to the show anymore.
Turn it off.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Anyway, the basic premise of The Life of Brian is that he was born in the stable next door to Jesus.
Yeah.
And initially mistaken for the Christ child. And then the wise men realized their mistake.
Yeah.
In the middle of praising. Oh, Brian!
It's a big poop on the Judeo-Christian religions.
Basically. But,
Bigus. I don't think that scene wouldn't work so well these days.
Which one?
Biggest Dickus scene.
Oh, Biggest Dickus?
Where he's just walking around trying to get the soldiers to crack, saying "Biggest Dickus." That sense of humor is past.
No, I think that's basically an early version of everything that fucking Bridesmaid tried to do 5 years ago. I don't think you need to update. I don't think you need to update that.
What?
The raunchy,
that wasn't raunchy. That was completely situational. It was based on the time of like self-discipline was still prized when they made that movie.
Right.
The absurdity of those soldiers not being able to hold in the joke, that doesn't play as well today.
Well, yeah, it kind of does. I think it would still work.
remember, we're 30 and you're in your 50s, so
I'm not my 50s.
We're talking about people that are 18, they got to see this movie too. Self-discipline means nothing to
them. Oh, you think an 18-year-old is not going to laugh at Biggest Dickest?
I'm talking about a generation that sets their alarm and literally sleeps an hour in after the alarm goes off, and they suffer zero consequences for it. So they might laugh initially at the guy saying off the different names that the soldiers use as a code name to get laid, but then him walking around trying to get those soldiers to mock his best friend Biggest Dickus openly, I don't think it would play as much. I think it's funny. I'm not saying it's not funny.
You're sure that wouldn't play now?
I'm sure. Again, when he says, "Who is that soldier?" I can't remember the actual false name of Brian's father in the movie.
Large living area.
The fag gets it.
Anyone survivor, sir?
See, that still plays because he's using an offensive term.
Throw him to the floor. Now, what is your name, Jew?
Brian, sir.
Brian, eh?
No, Brian.
See, that can still play.
The little rascal has spirit?
Has what, sir?
Spirit?
Yes, he did, sir.
Hello. Spirits, bravado, a touch of daring do.
Oh, about 11, sir.
See, that still plays.
You dare to wade us?
To what, sir?
Strike him, Centurion, very roughly. Ah! Oh, and throw him to the floor, sir.
What?
Throw him to the floor again, sir.
Oh, yes, throw him to the floor, please.
Now, Jewish rapscallion.
I'm not Jewish, I'm a Roman.
A Roman?
No, Roman.
See?
No. Your father was
That's
a
the
Roman.
Classic who's on first shit, and it's still can play.
He's a centurion in the Jerusalem garrisons.
Really? What is his name?
Nautius Maximus.
Centurion, do you have anyone of that name in the garrison?
Oh, no, sir.
Well, you sound very sure. Have you checked?
Well, no, sir, I think it's a joke, sir. Like, Silius Sodus or Bigger Sticker, sir.
Quick, mute it. Or pause it, sorry.
Funny about...
Everything right there has played so far.
Right.
What I'm talking about is right from this point moving forward.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Bigger Stickers.
Well, it's a joke name, sir.
I have a very great friend in Rome called Biggest Dickens.
Silence!
What is all this insolence? You will find yourself in gladiator school very quickly with rotten behavior like that.
Can I go now, sir?
Wait, your Biggest Dickens hears of this.
Wait! Take him away!
Oh, sir,
No, I want him fighting rabid wild animals within a week.
Yes, sir.
For you.
I will not have my friends.
I think this is still
ridiculed by the common soldiery.
They might not be able to relate to it, but I would think they would understand the seriousness of the Roman Empire.
Giggle. When I mention my friend,
I appeal to the peanut gallery on that one.
Are you kidding me?
He's saying this wouldn't play to an 18-year-old audience today.
Well, just watch him right now.
You?
All he's doing is walking around and saying a name.
Who is he, boy? When I say the name, because,
see, it's shtick. It's not bad. I find it amusing. I'm laughing at it. I'm just saying, like, kids don't respond to shtick anymore.
He has a wife, you know. You know what she's called? She's called Incontinentia. microphone and into your buttocks. Shut up! What is your...
That's funny.
Enough of this!
You're completely relying on 18 to 20-year-olds knowing what incontinentia implies.
It's very verbal humor, but then you're relying on the shtick reaction. That's why I'm saying that's the only thing that
again,
wouldn't play.
Okay.
You
want to
see it, and that's okay.
You could probably update that one line.
Well, I mean, I'd update the... I'd try to give it a little more...
I think Biggest Dickus is going to play. And I think trying to get Romans to laugh is going to play. Because if you have them standing at attention through this entire thing, except for this one guy... that's smacking the other guy around. I think they'll get it pretty quick. What? Audiences are not as stupid as you think they are. People are stupid. Audiences are going to go where you lead them.
What they've evolved to, though, is usually when someone gets the upper hand with, like, Biggest Dickus or something like that, and then they make the other person feel stupid for not getting the joke. And an example I can think of since we mentioned it is, like, in The Interview. When the CIA agent comes in with her glasses on, her cleavage open and everything like that, and James Franco is a complete idiot and she's obviously manipulating him with right. the information and shit, that's what they're responding to that situation is the intelligence over the idiot, right. not...
Well, that's always been the... What do you want to call it?
The straight man and the moron?
No, the argument against Monty Python to the average, everyday American consumer.
And that's who you have to sell a movie to.
I could see updating the movie. I just don't think you would need to do that much rewriting.
Oh, I wasn't implying like that much. Like that scene, like, I mean, maybe, the greater half of that scene is really fucking good to this day. Then the second half, like, we need to brush that up.
I mean, maybe... update some of the stuff, maybe, you know, but I don't think you need to go over the top with this movie.
No, hell no. That's not what I was getting at either.
Right. I could see updating references and stuff like that, and that's fine with a remake. If you're going to remake a movie, it makes sense to update the references from 30 years ago. Because, I mean, you think about it, if they try to do Airplane today with the differences in security... between now and then, because remember the main thing with Airplane was that the dude was able to go to the airport and buy a bomb and take it onto the plane with him.
I actually think that joke would still work. You just defend the TSA. And
Well, no, he would buy the bomb inside the TSA border after he went through.
So like basically you set it up to where the joke plays that the TSA are completely fucking inept.
You put like a sign on it.
I don't think you need to play that at all. The TSA is and has been proven inept.
No,
we know that.
Right.
You put the label on the stack of bombs in the bookstore that says inspected for your safety per TSA guidelines.
Right. Yeah.
Right, because you see what it is that the bomb has everything that you need to make a bomb except for the clock.
Right.
See, but what it is, you bring your own clock.
Yeah.
So he gets through security with his clock just fine. Then he goes and he buys the bomb, hooks the clock up to the grenade. And
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe 30 seconds to 45 seconds of build up where they're having like do strip search and x-rays and everything. And then he still walks in, picks up a bomb and then walks to the plane with it.
Well, they did that in Airplane. Remember they had, like people walking through with weapons and, you know, I mean, just armed to the teeth with weapons. And then like some old lady walks through and her walker sets it off and they fly tackle or some shit like that.
Yeah. Shit like that. Yeah. Like it's set up that is completely ridiculous that they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Now imagine if they try to remake, say, Hot Shots.
Yeah. That one you would need some.
The parody movie has died. They killed it with the Scary Movie franchises like that. And the Epic Movie and the.
Okay.
Disaster movie is like the worst movie ever made, according to Rotten Tomatoes. So
I don't even know what movie you're talking about.
That's exactly what it sounds like. It's a parody of all the disaster movies that came out for the last 15 years, and it was terrible. Right. They killed that style.
Why not bring it back? If you do it right, bring it back. It'll sell, right? That's the big problem today. But that's the problem.
If there's one thing Ghostbusters has proven to me, it is that statement is accurate. You bring it back and sell it right, people will pay to see it.
I didn't say sell it right, I said do it right. Now we'll get into the looking back over the movies that you enjoyed as a kid. what would be a movie that maybe you would want to see remade with the technology available today?
I thought RoboCop was going to be one of those ones that blew me away, because I saw the first one when I was like six, and it was fucking amazing. Because it was like that perfect.
I have not seen the new one, so I don't know.
Not that good.
It's not that good.
Most of the ones I wanted, they did, though.
Yeah.
Like Dread and shit like that.
Yeah.
And they did them well, and I liked them.
See, the
Dread was good. I love Dread.
I enjoyed both versions of the movie. I even enjoyed the schlocky Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Version of it was Judge goofy. Dredd.
There we go. Demolition Man.
Who would you get?
Oh, now we got to cast this shit too.
Really, you only got to cast the two leads. You got to cast Sylvester Stallone's character, and you got to cast
what the fuck is Wesley Snipes?
Wesley
doing?
Snipes' character.
He lived through that shit somehow. Who knows?
After God is,
he's got to pay taxes, Frank. Yeah, he's gonna sign on.
So that's true.
And Sylvester Stallone's making fucking Rocky movies again, so he's up for reboots.
Yeah, but he's getting other people to fight the fights in Rocky, so he doesn't.
Well, yeah, he can be there as the mentor cop.
Fuck it. Michael B. Jordan just straight up.
Actually, no. If you think about it, remember Demolition Man, you had that one old fucker that remembered the old days. Remember the black dude from Demolition, got the old guy.
Yeah.
You put Sylvester Stallone there.
In that spot.
In that role. And then you have maybe a Michael B. Jordan come in playing the cocky ass fucking from the past.
I'm straight out going, like, he is going to be the Simon Phoenix character. Michael B. Jordan will be the Simon Phoenix character.
Do you think he can play psychotic like
yes!
that?
Yes!
Why not? He was crazy enough to sign on for Fantastic Four.
But
I hate that guy.
I don't know if he could play Simon Phoenix psychotic.
Well, let's be fair. Wesley Snipes isn't that good of an actor to begin with.
He's not, but he was basically a complete and total dick in this movie, and I don't know if
that's the point. You need somebody that can play a dick, right. Not psychotic. You need somebody that can be a cartoon character.
Yeah, and I don't think Michael B. Jordan could go there. I don't think he could let it loose that much. And it doesn't necessarily have to be black, because the original character
you're going to whitewash? You're going to deny actors a chance to work, Frank.
You can bring the black actor in as the main guy.
Let me see your Oscars membership card. Let me see your Academy. I know you're a member now. You were the one behind that whitewashing.
Yeah, that's right.
There was plenty of good female directors that year too, Frank.
You could do that. I don't care.
I don't know who to cast. I honestly don't.
Like, so that's
we don't have big action stars anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the action don't. Stars have died. Not literally died, but like the concept.
Who'd you get, like Matt Damon?
Could you see The Rock coming in and playing?
Maybe.
Not the bad guy, but the cop.
Yeah.
Even that show you were showing me.
Oh, Ballers?
The Rock does really good when he has someone to play with, and it's not that he's a bad actor, right. It's that he's a nice guy. I like The Rock as a person.
Right. Well, that's the thing. In Demolition Man, though, is he was constantly playing off of Sandra Bullock's character.
Yeah.
So he would have a second.
I think as long as you get him people to play off of, he could easily do
it. And I think it would be fine, because I don't think Sylvester Stallone, other than like one scene in his apartment. Remember when he first walks in there and he doesn't have any idea of the technology yet?
Simon Phoenix, Terry Crews.
Boom. Yep.
Yep, he can do crazy. Look at the old Spice commercials.
I think you're right.
He can do the crazy eyes. He can do the pec flex. He can do the dance and the robot and shit. Terry Crews all the way.
I think so. And then I could that would actually be kind of cool, watching Terry Crews and The Rock go up again.
And then you actually have a guy that with big muscles going up against a guy with big muscles, so there's not a physical difference between them like there kind of was with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I'm like, wait a minute, how? I mean, well, they remember they had to explain it, though. You went to crocheting class while he went to murder, death, kill school.
Yeah.
That's why he's able to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know, but this way you wouldn't have to do that kind of shit.
Yeah, but
know?
Then we get to see the Rock crocheting and shit, and that's fine.
That would be funny.
That would be funny.
Right, but I mean, that's how they explained that away in there. He went to Murder,
and I watched the Rock play a gay guy and be cool, so that he'll do it. I think both of those guys could do that really easily.
Yeah. And that movie would actually be entertaining. Well, then very entertaining.
Right, well, then you need a woman to play the female cop that hangs out with the Rock all the time. And you can pretty much put generic hot actress in that role.
Even better, we could swap it, and I'm going to make a defense for this.
What, make the Rock the bad guy?
No. Rock can still stay in the Sylvester Stallone character slot. Reverse it, and I'm going to make a defense. Hear me out. John Cena playing Simon Phoenix.
That would actually...
I watched part of...
The name, I know who you're talking about, but I'm total brain farting on who he is.
He's the pro wrestler.
He's another pro wrestler.
Right,
yeah.
But I'm brain farting on like what I know he's been in stuff.
Okay, there is the recent Amy Schumer movie that was a train wreck named Trainwreck.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's terrible. He plays a guy who's dating Amy Schumer in the movie, and the character is set up that he's huge gym rat. Huge, obviously. You'd have to be with a guy that size. And he's actually kind of into being monogamous with Amy Schumer, and she's definitely not in monogamy. But the other joke that's playing in the movie is when he trash talks, he sounds really gay. Like they're in a theater, and she's being loud and drunk because she snuck in wine in a box or whatever.
Right.
And she upsets some black people behind him, and they say something. And John Cena says, "I will come right over there, and I will bend you over, and I will fuck you in the ass." And you're like, oh, that one joke is like, no, he kind of does that through the movie. He kind of, she's like, just think of something when they're having sex. Like, just think of something that turns you on. And he's like, right. Oh, yeah, I'm on the gym. Oh, my muscles are sweaty. Oh, and all the guys are watching me rep these huge reps. You're like, that's a little gay. He played that character. So I'm like, John Cena did a really good job of this movie. Right. Everyone else was fucking trash. You did good, sir.
Right. See, and the thing about Demolition Man, too, is you're not talking about that big of a culture gap, you know, because those characters are from the 90s
mm-hmm.
and getting shifted to, what, 2025 or some shit
something
like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so we move forward to 2015. We're still dealing with AIDS, and we've got SARS, and we've got, you know, this, that, or there, you know, so the cultural references aren't that dated.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be a matter of updating because remember that was always the big thing about that, you know, the Sandra Bullock's character was being basically an early 90s paraphernalia collector.
She was the 90s version of a greaser.
Right. You know, well, she was always collecting paraphernalia and all that kind of, you know. So you update that to 2015. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, after the terrorists took over and we had to clean. Anyway. You can figure out a way to redo Demolition Man and make
John
it relevant to today.
John Cena would actually, I think, could
I like
that.
Terry Crews or John Cena for it. And I think you could probably talk either one into doing it. If right. one says no, the other's probably going to say yes.
Yeah.
But could John, because I don't know anything about John Cena. Could he play
yes.
batshit crazy?
Yes.
Like
he played a pro wrestler.
I know.
Literally, his catchphrase is, "You can't see me," and he does this.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I mean. That's what I
Should
was wondering.
Should hear his intro song.
Can he play batshit crazy? That's what I was wondering. I would, however, possibly want to change the ending slightly. I never liked the end of
Demolition Man.
And Dennis Leary's not doing shit. You can get him right in there.
Dennis Leary, I think, in that movie. I don't know if I'd want to keep him in that role, though.
We could recast Dennis Leary's character. I'm sure there's a couple comedians that
Wouldn't
qualify
it,
for
him. I mean, keep Dennis Leary, but make him
Doug
like...
Doug fucking Stanhope.
No. Yeah. No. Keep Dennis...
Oh,
no,
dude.
Hold on. No, keep Dennis Leary in, but make him the chief of police.
The stuff... Nah,
No. Let him do his thing as the chief of police. Instead of being the uptight stick in the ass, maybe you can make him the older chief that maybe remembers the old days.
And, see, I don't want to
appreciates the change and doesn't want to go back to the old days, thus the caveman references and stuff like that. But he's also that smart aleck chief of police, like Last Action Hero. I don't know.
That's a move. There you go.
That actually would be a good movie to remake, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Like, that's one of those ones. It's like,
no, you could actually get Vin Diesel to do it too.
Last Action Hero?
Yeah.
If you're switching the Arnold Schwarzenegger character for a modern action star that was known for being Serious Sam and hardcore and everything,
yeah,
you go fucking Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Rock has taken some comedic and feel good roles. Vin Diesel's always, I think it's going to
rock. Well, that's the thing though, is that, well, yeah, but that's the thing though. I think you're right though with Vin Diesel, because the, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that movie was doing what we've talked about before. He was deadpanning the movie.
Yeah. You know, it was an entire parody of the action movie genre.
Right. He was like, yes, I know I'm in this stupid, idiotic universe. What's your problem?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was
that's why we have area codes.
Right. Could you imagine that joke today?
Dude, that one's still funny to me. It's like, why do all the numbers start with 555? What happens when you run out of, when you get hit 9-9?
Who do you recast the villain with?
Oh, shit.
I have one in mind.
That was Charles Dance, wasn't it?
And as soon as I thought of Charles Dance, I'm like, I think I know a spiritual successor to Charles Dance.
Hold on, let me see if I can figure it out here. No, because my reference point is probably different. Who are you thinking?
The guy that played Baelish.
I have no idea.
Yes, Aiden Gillian, yeah.
It's a reference to Game of Thrones,
which also Charles Dance
plays a character in, and he interacts with this guy.
How about getting the dude that played House?
That's not terrible.
No, that wouldn't be bad. You can kind of get the same. Well, they're both kind of tall and gangly.
Yeah.
Which captures Dance as well.
Yeah.
You know what? Either way, Hugh Laurie or...
And you would also... He was like, we needed to summon House for a few moments to be really cerebral and asshole-ish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You could even kick him in that character and he could have the bum leg with the cane, because that character really doesn't do anything super physical in the movie.
I don't want to see him as House. I want to see Hugh Laurie
summon
some aspects of House in a maniacal...
I want him to see him turn House sinister.
Right, yeah, exactly, right. Yeah.
He doesn't need to have a limp to be House.
Right, but he doesn't even need to turn House that sinister, because House was almost there.
No, I agree with him.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
There's moments it where probably, House just did shit to fuck shit up.
I was going to say, there were times where he just fucked with people just to fuck with people.
Like that second to last season where he finds out that, like, after Cuddy broke up with him and everything, that she's completely happy. They have the kid and she's dating the private eye and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He just drives his fucking car through her house.
I remember that. That's why he was in prison.
Right. Yep.
So I could thoroughly see him in that role as the bad guy in Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
I'm going to still stick to my pick, but say both could easily do it.
Right. Now.
That's the Cruise Cena debate.
All right. So we got Vin Diesel and we've got.
We'll call Hugh Laurie. We'll just say Hugh Laurie.
And then random young kid, whoever auditioned for the role.
Yay, child actors. They're so good.
Right. Police chief, because that's the other really over the top.
We just straight out summoned Danny Glover off the bench.
I don't know if he could play. I don't know. I don't think he could do it. Because remember the captain in that one? He was the one that was like shattering windows because he was yelling so loud and talking basically gibberish the entire movie. Yeah.
I would see if I could convince Denzel Washington to do it. I want to see him in a comedic role.
That...
Yeah.
I want him to chill out for once.
Try it once.
Have some fun, Denzel. You're a good actor. We know that. You got fucking, what is it, three Academy Awards?
Three Academy Awards,
we know you're a good actor. Have some fun.
Or
Leo had to do it the opposite way.
Yeah.
Now, you know what?
Sam Jackson also...
Sam Jackson's been in too much shit.
Okay. And he's known for yelling. That's not
exactly.
fair. That's not fair.
I like the idea of the against type of Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
a normally stoic person gets to play around with that role. And yeah. Denzel Washington has been known to speak strongly in his movies and his speeches.
Right. Hey, Denzel, go nuts.
Yeah.
You've seen, I know you don't like Tropic Thunder, but Tom Cruise in Tropic Thunder is an example of a guy that took himself seriously.
Completely against type.
Jumped into the role and said, I'm going to have some fucking fun with this
If you could do
character.
Something like that, where, if Denzel played...
What's my name? You're playing Les Grossman. What's my character? You're a sleazeball agent that would rather see his clients die if he can make a few bucks off of it. Oh, I know that. I can do that.
It was fucking hilarious.
I like that idea. I like the idea of having the one guy in there playing against type.
I'm
going
to need you to take three steps back and literally, fuck your own face. Everybody else didn't see it when he was on screen. I'm like, that's Tom Cruise, and people are like, I didn't see
it. I didn't even knowing it ahead of time. I was looking at the movie going,
where's Tom Cruise?
I knew it was Tom Cruise, and I could see the because I knew it ahead of time, but I also put myself in the mindset of, you know, if I didn't know that was Tom Cruise, I wouldn't know that was Tom Cruise. Yeah. They hit it so well.
He wasn't the normal suave.
You could tell he jumped in and he had fucking fun, and that's when you have to convince him.
Think about it, the police chief in Last Action Hero was only in there for like 3 minutes the entire movie. I think he chews him out 2 or 3 times, and that's it.
I had another one, but then I realized he's already
got to do
it.
How about getting Ice-T in there to do that role?
I was going to say Ice-T.
Or even Ice Cube.
Nope. Out. You're out. He already got his chance. He got it in 21 and 22 Jump Street. He got to play that
role. I thought that was Ice-T.
That was Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ice-T.
Ice-T is the light skin one, just like Ice-T.
Okay.
But you literally have you don't have the guy that wrote Cop Killer that already got to play a police chief twice and be a stereotypical cartoon. Okay. I think Ice-T could do it, too. So if not Denzel, Ice-T.
I was thinking of the one from Law & Order.
Yes, that's Ice-T.
Yeah, that's Ice-T.
Right, okay. That's the one I was thinking of.
Ice Cube is from Are We There Yet?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking of the one from Law & Order.
Oh, Friday. There you go. It's from Friday. That's Ice Cube.
Okay, yeah.
Chris Tucker.
I mean, those are really the main roles. Well, okay, the old curmudgeonly guy that runs the movie theater, that'd be old lovable guy.
You can find someone.
Sure, you can find somebody. You could get
throw it out there again.
De Niro.
Ian McShane.
You could get De Niro to play that role.
I don't want somebody that's really curmudgeonly, though. I want somebody that just exudes wisdom, and that's Ian McShane.
Who's that?
A lot of shit. You ever watch Deadwood from HBO?
No.
Okay. Did you ever watch Kung Fu Panda?
I saw the third one.
Nope. Okay.
You ever saw the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Which one's that?
That's On Stranger Tides. He played Blackbeard. He's another prolific
actor. Is that the
actor.
One where they all die halfway through? No, that's the Black Pearl.
Nope.
They're going after the Fountain of Youth.
No, he hasn't seen it.
No,
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
I think the only one I've seen is the one where the Black Pearl.
He's never seen Black Pearl. So that's not a reference for him.
Whatever. The one where they die... Where they go down to Davy Jones' locker. That's the
trust
only...
Trust me, my pick's good. Ian McShane.
Okay.
You just have to trust me. As soon as he heard it, too, he's like, good pick.
Yeah, Ian McShane is right. Like, because with the...
You know, that line about violence was actually his improv?
Really?
He rewrote that.
Wow.
Violence is a disease.
That's crazy.
And if you use it, it just spreads.
How about War Games?
I would actually like to see a remake of War Games.
Could you imagine that in today's computer world?
That would actually work. Like, you could totally, and it would be really, really believable, and it would hit really hard.
That's when I want Hugh Laurie to play the Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Even that little bit of...
Or even James Cromwell, maybe.
James Cromwell wouldn't be too bad.
Reference me James Cromwell.
The guy who played
Zephyr Cochran.
First Contact.
Way too old. Way too old. I'm not disagreeing that he would be good for it. Just way too fucking old. If his shit still happened back in the 80s, you'd be dead on.
But who would you get to put, well...
That's like if I said Donald Sutherland, you guys are like, no, too old, too old.
But then again, who are you going to get to play Ally Sheedy and Matthew Broderick? I mean, they were both in their early 20s at that point, so...
Emma Stone.
Yep.
She's too old.
No.
No,
they were high school kids.
You can pull it off.
You can pull it off. She still looks like she's in high school. Look up a recent picture of her. Like, go ahead, type it in July 2016. You're like, oh, yeah, she could pull off high school.
Honestly, I think if you're going to do this one, maybe you get unknowns as the two lead roles, as the high school kids.
Possibly.
Oh, for the control room director? Stanley Tucci.
You mean the? What about the general?
Oh, the guy that played the cartoon character from Avatar.
Nice.
Get his name. The guy from Gods and Generals.
Yep.
You've okay. seen that? He played Stonewall.
You've seen Avatar? No. You talk
about the colonel.
I intentionally avoided that.
Oh,
movie.
What the hell is it? Stephen Lang.
Stephen Lang.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dead on. Dead fucking on.
Okay.
Going off of that ability to do the steely eye, no bullshit taking guy.
Okay.
But that, also pragmatic, rather.
But I think that would
be also the same reason why I want him as Cable.
but I think that would be a fun movie to remake.
Yeah. Oh no, it would. That's one of those ones. It would actually make a hell of a lot more sense now. That was one of those ones where they was ambitious.
Ahead of their time.
It was ahead of its time.
Right.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick's character, though. Go ahead.
How about
cast it.
I don't know, man.
How about the Philadelphia? I might be thinking of the wrong movie. The Manhattan Project. The one where the kid builds the nuclear bomb in his basement.
That's a ridiculous movie.
I love that movie. It had John Lithgow in it.
Yeah,
Come on, now, how he gets a hold of the plutonium is ridiculous. Especially in today's day and age.
Am I thinking of the same John Lithgow?
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yep. Okay. Remember, this is the one.
For some reason, I was picturing John Lovitz.
Okay. No, remember, this is the movie where the kid builds a nuclear bomb to take it to the science fair.
Never seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the whole point. He builds a nuclear bomb. His mom starts dating a nuclear physicist that's working for the secret government plutonium factory that's just down the street from his house.
Yep.
And he figures it out because he's smart, brainiac kid.
He's smart.
So he figures out how to build. Well, he figures out how to redirect the laser beam inside the lab that they use to test the thing to cut a hole in the wall, and he can run his RC car in there and pick up a bottle of liquefied plutonium. And then he builds.
I forgot how stupid that was.
It was stupid. He builds.
I'm literally tuning out while he's describing the movie to me. I'm just going to let you guys cast it.
Here's the best part. Remember, he builds the nuclear bomb, right? Remember when they're trying to take it apart?
And then he takes a flight over Hiroshima?
No.
Commercial jet, just by coincidence?
No. Remember, he goes, what did you use for reflectors? Salad bowls.
Yeah.
Like, salad bowls are going to be able to reflect. Okay, forget that movie.
No, you guys have... No, you guys can cast it. I'm not...
No, that movie was...
That movie was...
I kind of want to disqualify any of those hokey, campy, the kid built it in the garage movies from the 90s and late 80s, because there's...
Yeah. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, okay, I enjoyed the
best,
movie.
The best of the bunch out of that style is War Games, because that was a really good fucking movie.
Well, that wasn't him building anything out of it. That was just him hacking. He was trying to hack in to play a game.
See, I'll let shit like that play, because it was just a kid being smart naturally, but the kid built, like, there's, like, right. What is it, six different movies where a kid builds the first artificial intelligence robot in his garage out of fucking vacuum cleaners and shit, and you're like,
yeah,
fuck this movie.
Yeah, because remember, War Games wasn't about him hacking into the government. It was about him hacking into a game company. And because he wanted to be the first to play a video game, and he accidentally hacked the government thing, and it had games in there listed like chess and checkers and all that kind of stuff, and that's why he thought that was.
Yeah.
How about thermonuclear war?
Yeah. He didn't set out, I'm going to hack the government and start nuclear war. It was, oh, fuck.
So that would definitely play today in the hacker culture
of
today.
Yeah, in the hacker culture that exists, that would be...
Who would you get to cast as Matthew Broderick?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I said. I think you're looking at unknowns for him and the Ally Sheedy role.
He's too old now, but if they had decided to do it a few years ago, I would have said the kid that was in Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
He would have been a really good choice, but he was just in the Avengers, and you're like,
nah, I'm never going to see you as anything less than 30 years old now.
Yeah.
Right. I think you're looking at unknowns because Matthew Broderick was almost an unknown when War Games came out.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ally Sheedy was kind of known at that point, but
if not Ally Sheedy, get Chloe Grace Moretz. She's just hitting perfect. The appropriate
perfect.
Like, she's perfect. She's what is 19?
Yeah,
18, 19.
Yeah, something like that.
You're talking about high school seniors, so
you've seen the movie Kick-Ass.
Oh yeah,
she
was
Hit Girl.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that would actually play, and she can do the.
I even saw the crappier Kick-Ass too.
Kick-Ass too.
She can
like
do the
Kick-Ass.
Flirty girl next door, right. But also kind of confident in her ability and shit.
How about this would be a good movie where you could switch the roles and maybe have her do the Matthew Broderick part. Because you could kind of see her doing, because in War Games,
you run into a dangerous area though. Because in the movie,
I know, but he never got physical with anybody. It was always,
it's heavily implied that they're.
I know, but it was always thinking his way out of it type stuff, like using a tape recorder
You're saying, I think what he's talking about is the relationship that develops between the two.
It's not the fact that I don't think a woman's smart enough to do
that. Oh, so you don't think a guy would hang out and help her out?
Nope.
Like
that's not what he would know.
Like, there's little scenes where she just walks up into his fucking room and his two 17-year-olds locked in a room together for an unknown amount of... If that was a dude...
Oh, the parents wouldn't let a dude walk up into a girl's room is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She comes over hot and sweaty from jogging. Is Tammy home? Yeah, I'll have her come down in a minute. You don't get just to fucking walk in the house, you perv. It's those goddamn pesky gender roles that totally don't exist.
Okay,
but definitely.
Well, that's stuff that you could update. Maybe have him do the hacking from school instead of his bedroom. You know,
that would play more. Yeah. But then I think that loses a little nostalgia because he was doing it all in his room and he was obsessing about it. He was getting out of school by hacking the system.
Or she could be the next door neighbor that he's known all his life.
But two female friends, and they're just friends. They don't actually have to be lesbians in this movie.
Right. Well, they weren't. Well.
It was implied. I think by the end of the movie
By the end of the movie they kiss.
They smooch.
Yeah. But when they first started hanging out, they really didn't even know each other at the beginning. They got introduced from something.
But you could tell there was interest there from both sides.
Right.
They became friends, but they kept pushing the boundaries a little bit.
But I mean, that would be one of those roles that I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with the gender flip.
I just say make them both girls.
They could do that too. You know. Because,
holy crap, I just recast as a woman and then all females are guys.
Because
and I didn't break the fucking script.
But I mean, because while it's implied in War Games that the two of them are a thing.
They don't have to be.
They're not really.
They don't have to be.
The vast majority of the movie, they're just friends. They're best friends.
This is what I always
There's
say.
Maybe
they're
a nuance
totally,
here
definitely,
there.
Probably not. You say they're implied, but they're not, and it's like, but the shit they're doing is shit that would normally be reserved for a high school couple.
Right.
They're hanging out at all times. They're in each other's rooms with barely any parental supervision. That's...
Right.
That's slightly more than female friendship.
Right. But what I mean is that's something you get away with, like, they've been neighbors their whole life, and they've been hanging out since they were kids. Type thing.
You could probably explain it.
I don't like that, because it makes it easy. I think
it does. But, I mean, it would give them a reason to be together... Instead of a love interest, you know, it would give them a reason for a...
How about we have two women that are friends that go on an adventure together that don't
end
up grinding?
Right, you could do that too. I mean, there's no reason why the one has to be the hacker and the other has to be the friend watching.
For those at home, that made me sound very homophobic, but I think in big movies nowadays, it's ubiquitous to have a gay couple if it's two female or male leads, and I don't think that should be the case either.
Well, no, I think what you're saying is that there always has to be a love interest, whether it's a guy and a girl or two girls.
How about two just crazy kids that get mixed up in it,
and
they're good friends getting through it together.
And that's why I say, you know, they've been friends their whole life, living next door, whether it's a guy or a girl or two girls or two guys or whatever, you know, just two buddies fucking around, you know.
I believe her primary motivation for going on the lam with him was that she wanted to help her friend, but the secondary was that she was tied into his shit, too.
Right, because he changed her grade, remember, there eventually.
So she eventually had to go on him anyway, even if they weren't that close
of
friends.
And then she was also there in the room when he first hacked into...
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those combinations. They're good friends, and she was an accomplice.
Right, but I mean, you could totally do that story without there being a...
any love kind interest of whatsoever. Love interest between and it would, the two. And it would totally
because
work.
While
as long as we don't go off the rails right. like they did in Hackers.
Right.
But what I mean is while the shit don't make no fucking right. sense.
But I mean, while yeah. you got the impression that maybe they did kind of like each other
mm-hmm.
in War Games, they never went there.
Because,
you know,
hear me out on this too. If you, and this is why I say do it without a love interest at all, or them growing up next to each other. You run the risk nowadays with all the hate coming back at nerds that no matter which way you flip the genders, leave it there or flip it, you run the risk of this is just living out a nerd fantasy and finding a smart nerdy chick and going on adventures with him and then smooching her at the end of the movie. You kind of have to leave that shit out.
Right. And, well, nerds aren't the nerds of the 80s either
no.
nowadays.
No, they're not.
You know.
Yeah, there's things called anime now, Frank. It's gotten worse.
I know, but I mean, I'm talking about the portrayed on TV.
Oh, the kid that can still play baseball and get right. into systems. Yeah,
yeah. Because in the 80s, when I was going to, the nerd was the dude with the pocket protector and the plaid right. pants, and the, yeah. you know, the yep. Revenge of the Nerds nerd.
You're living in the age where there's waifu pillows, so right. anything that's portrayed yeah. as a nerd in a positive way is negative.
Right.
I said waifu pillows. Fucking right. triggered.
See, but nowadays you, me, and Matt would all be considered nerds, even though we don't, you know, we all three have different looks. There's not a stereotypical nerd
nope,
anymore.
Not anymore.
I gotta ask at ASUN, was there anybody walking around with one?
I believe I saw Revenge of one the, or two.
I think
I tried Matt, to push that out of my head.
I think Revenge of the Nerds has come true. We've taken over.
The
ugly
we're
people, now the bad guys, aren't we?
The ugly people realize that there are more of us than there are of you.
I actually read something from Black Twitter today.
Now imagine if they did today, like a reverse Revenge of the Nerds.
Don't feel bad if you're ugly. Everybody's ugly to somebody. Just right. a good deal of people are ugly to more people.
Imagine today if they did a reverse Revenge of the Nerds.
There would be massive outrage.
Well, they tried to do it with the internship.
It's just that there's anti-bullying.
Yeah. No, they tried to do it with the internship. Remember the, what is it, Luke Wilson, not Luke Wilson.
Well, that played because it was age difference mostly playing there.
Right, but it was also a whole bunch of nerds versus world experienced.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But it wasn't nerds jocks, it was nerds age, it was life experience
older
versus
nerds
life experience.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't even say nerds. Those could have easily been the jocks from Revenge of the Nerds, but they didn't hate the nerds.
Right?
Going
they didn't hate each other, but it was almost that feeling where, you know, in Revenge of the Nerds, it was we're oppressed, and it's the jocks that did it versus the nerds are taking over, and we need to figure out how to fit in of the internship but type thing.
Remember the snotty British kid in that movie? If he was on the other side of that casting, like he was fucking Vince Vaughn. You would have, right. and another younger kid was with him. You were like, "Oh, it's reverse Revenge of the Nerds. This movie sucks."
Right? No, it didn't. A lot of people say they didn't like the internship. I kind of enjoyed it.
I liked it.
It played. It was a feel good comedy. Right.
It was. It wasn't
with boobies in it. That was a plus.
Right. I mean, it wasn't high art.
But no, there wasn't. Yeah, no, there was.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible.
Right.
I had fun watching that movie. 7 out of 10.
Yeah, we watched it, what, twice, I think.
Yeah.
I think we watched it 1 week and I said,
John, was it John Gooden being the sleazeball in that movie was perfect, too.
John Goodman, yeah. Oh, played the coach in Revenge of the Nerds, you mean?
No, John Goodman was also in the internship, I believe, and he played the guy that was their boss when they were selling the expensive watches. Then they got fired, and he revamped the business to selling motorized scooters in old folks' homes. Then
no, that wasn't John Goodman.
Vince Vaughn.
I don't know. Let me
please
look that up. I don't think that was John Goodman.
It was a cam. He was on screen for a total of 2 minutes.
I don't think that was John Goodman. I just IMDb. I think
if it
wasn't,
I'll feel bad. But I was pretty sure it was John Goodman because it was a big fat guy with a bird-like face sitting by a pool.
Yeah, I don't think it was John. Yeah, I would just IMDb the cast of the internship. But I don't think that was. Hold on, Matt's looking it up here. Just read down the cast.
That's what I'm working for. Full cast. Here we go.
It's an ensemble, so it's going to take a minute.
Right. Like I said, I think he was like Uncle Saul or some shit like that.
I like, out of that whole scene in that movie, I think I liked the dating scene with Owen Wilson and Rose Byrne, where they went on the date and he had to give her the
worst date of her life. Yes,
and I thought that was actually kind of charming and funny. Like the him hitting on her was a little cringe, and then when they went on the date,
it was an interesting premise.
It was a very interesting.
I've had some really bad dates. Well, you haven't been out with me yet. I can show you a really bad date.
No, she hadn't dated, and he's like,
yeah, no, he's totally John.
Is he right?
He's John. Yeah, John Goodman was Nick and Billy's boss. Yep.
Oh, okay.
And then Rob Riggle was the sleazeball that was selling the scooters in
the
retirement community.
Right.
Was also sleeping. It's a pussy buffet, man. And I'm like, I love Rob Riggle in these roles just because he's a fucking ex-Marine. What do we need you to do? What do you need me to do? Say pa. I can do that. So make a noise. What kind of noise? Just something really random and confusing, and they'll go with it. Okay. Pah! I'm sorry, was he saying pow or pa?
Pah!
I've seen his stand-up, and it's very lackluster. I think it would appeal... Honestly, I think if servicemen watched it, they would fucking love it. And I was like, it's okay. Yep.
Lieutenant, this award...
You ever seen this?
...is for your service in Abbottabad. To have shot bin Laden and led that mission. You define the term American hero.
Thank you, sir.
You must never tell.
Colonel, correct?
Your action that day...
He was a colonel.
Was
Rob Riggle was a colonel?
Little hidden.
Lieutenant Colonel, I think.
Your pride.
So he was an officer in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
It was
no record of your name. No one will know if you're brave.
Absolutely, sir. Discretion assured.
I fucking shot Bin Laden!
Any specials for, I don't know, say a guy who just shot Osama Bin Laden?
Coming in hard, right? Yanking and banking the whole way. Which cheaters in full compound. We jump out.
Bin Laden! Bin Laden! Get your fucking ass out here!
Do I know you?
I shot Osama Bin Laden.
Who shot Bin Laden?
You shot Bin Laden!
Who shot Bin Laden?
I go, Osama Bin Laden! And he goes, who's asking? I'm like, the U.S. of A, motherfucker.
Ben Franklin, you suck! Balls! I want to be on the under, bitch!
Oh, Lieutenant, we were having a volleyball tourney on the base, and I... You haven't mentioned anything about that thing we talked about earlier, have you? That thing of the utmost discretion.
Shut the fuck up, Grandpa. Do you know who this is? Everybody up in here knows that he's the guy that shot Bin Laden.
They guessed?
killed an action-friendly fire.
Nice.
Remember the other one where he does the interview? I think it was on, John Stewart, maybe?
Probably. No, he was a correspondent for The Daily Show for a brief time.
Right, and he did an interview with, like people, hold on, let's see if
God,
I can find
he got, John Stewart launched so many fucking careers, it's pathetic.
It's so unfortunate it's so unfortunate to see where the Daily Show is now.
Did you ever see that clip where it was Steve Carell on Stephen Colbert's show?
No.
And they had Stephen on Stephen, the old segment, which I don't think you've ever seen.
No, I haven't.
The intro to their fucking segment on the Daily Show was one would say yes and the other would say no, progressively louder and louder three times. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no! And then they offered two different viewpoints of the same situation.
Nice.
But they were doing a version of that and then they started to like roast each other and then they broke down and cried and like, oh my God, I just don't want to go back to Jon Stewart. And Stephen Colbert's like, I know, that guy was a total dick while he was launching both of our careers for us. And then on the screen, the background, Jon Stewart pops up.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, once Jon Stewart left The Daily Show, they're not...
Oh, it's fucking...
It's bad now.
It's social justice trash.
Yeah.
They went full progressive left.
I don't think I can find it.
Do you think that's part...
I'm Trevor Noah, and I'm here to ask you, how can I get Hillary elected?
Yeah. Do you think that's kind of the reason why Jon left? Like...
How can I make Bernie sound like an irrational old man? Even though I'm from South Africa, I understand your politics perfectly. Why would you be against a woman politician? I do not understand. Because you're not from this fucking country
for the last 20 years, Noah.
Right.
Or 30.
Now that I'm looking at that, I'm kind of like, maybe the people at Comedy Central wanted to push The Daily Show more progressive, and Jon was like, nah, I'm out.
Probably. I'm willing to bet. Because he was liberal.
He was really fucking liberal. Yeah.
Really fucking liberal, and they're like, you're not being liberal enough for our hipster audience. All right, I'm fucking out then.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be psychotic.
I'm not going to not report facts. I will spin them, but I'm still going to report fucking facts. Even in a joking manner.
I think it was more, I'll put a liberal spin on things, but I'm not going to make people feel guilty for not agreeing with me.
Yeah. No. Jon Stewart.
We're talking about the neo-progressive left that is The Daily Show now.
Well, Jon Stewart was an equal opportunity...
Yeah.
Pisser offer.
Yeah. He was the '90s liberal. Like the concept of what the '90s liberals were.
The word I heard used to describe him was a Seattle liberal.
Yeah. The ones that...
Gays are fine. Guns are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Be cool to each other.
Yeah.
Taxes should pay for shit.
Yeah.
Seattle liberal. Farm fresh produce. Seattle liberal.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen this before.
You don't like Hillary? You're an ass.
You are a fucking...
Were you active how many years?
I did 9 years active duty and then 14 in the reserve after that.
Did you fear being called up for Afghanistan or Iraq?
No, I never feared it. As a matter of fact, after 9/11, I left active duty in 2000 and went in the reserves. And I was in New York City in Manhattan.
So if you think about that, he was in the reserves until like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In 9/11.
That entire time he was doing The Daily Show.
My unit was the only reserve unit in Manhattan. So when they closed the bridges and the tunnels on 9/11.
How much you want to bet his nickname was Hollywood or something?
And my unit was activated that night on the 11th.
Wow.
So on the morning of I got a call.
Well, I don't think he was doing The Daily Show right at 9/11. I'm sure after he started doing it, probably.
Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. We'll meet at such and such address, and then we'll go in there from there. So the next morning, September 12th, I was down at Ground Zero with my unit. We moved up to the it was kind of by a police plaza, one police plaza, and we moved in. And then we worked on the rubble piles, and I moved rubble by hand for 6 days, from the 12th to the 18th, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, just like ants going up a hill.
So he came in about the same time I did.
Six mm-hmm. stories of rubble. And they couldn't bring in heavy machinery because they were afraid of collapsing or cave-ins. And we didn't know if there were people still down there that might be alive. So for the first 6 days, it was still search and rescue. After 6 days, they determined
that
the heat and the dehydration, no one would have survived.
I'm actually kind of curious because I don't know anything about his military service.
When I looked it up, I don't remember him being extremely well-decorated. It was more like he was a pretty good officer. As officers go.
Well, in the Marines, that's normal. let's see. Military career was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Marine Corps Reserve and served in Liberia, Kosovo, Albania, and Afghanistan. He was a public affairs officer of the New York City Police Affairs Unit and a recipient of the Combat Action Ribbon. He joined the Marines in 1990 after getting his pilot's license, intending on becoming a naval aviator, but left flight school in order to pursue his comedy career. He referred to his military experiences on The Daily Show often when acting as the show's military analyst, publicity stating he could kill any other member of the show, or publicly stating.
That's fucking Rob Riggle. I could kill any of these assholes here. Listen to me. You guys don't know what it's like out there. Until you can kill a man with a toothbrush.
The worst part is you laugh because it's fucking hilarious the way he delivers it, and you're like, it's probably true.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. I think this is the one I was looking for. Fuck! Come on, man.
One of the downsides of having an all-volunteer military is that you need people to volunteer. It's not usually a huge problem. You just have to ask nicely. But some people don't want to hear the question. Rob Riggle has more.
The United States Marine Corps has fought in countless battles over the years, from Iwo Jima to Khe Sanh to the Battle of Fallujah. But today, the Corps faces its toughest fight yet.
The Marines ought to have better sense than to come here.
Yes, the Marines dared to rent office space and open a recruiting center in Berkeley, California. I headed to the front lines to get the story, not only as a reporter, but also as a veteran of the Marines.
He's wearing the fucking
Berkeley
war correspondent shit. I love it.
A bastion of liberal thought, and the Marines are just the opposite.
I kind of felt like probably the Iraqis felt like we were being occupied here in Berkeley.
He's right. The two are practically indistinguishable. That's Berkeley. That's Iraq.
You can just hear the sarcasm.
Just dripping Iraq out of his mouth.
Not sure.
Not Berkeley. Sure. Berkeley.
The city fought back and hit the Marines hard, with a resolution telling them to leave. To earn the trust of the locals, I had to blend in.
I don't know a good use of the Marines in my lifetime. And what's offensive about Marines
his eyes
in Berkeley is the fact that they are recruiting people for mass murder. They are here to out front recruit people into their killing machine that's perpetrating educational institutions.
Excuse me, Bob.
Oh, hippies! Boards! Ah!
Sorry, I had to go cool out for a minute.
Oh, what happened?
My buzz was getting a little wrecked, you know what I mean?
Right on, brother.
Yeah. So the Marines train people to kill people. The Marines are not moral influence. And
excuse me, Bob, I hate to do this again. I've got to excuse myself.
Since they're long-term push-ups.
With this amoral force refusing to leave their strip mall desk, Berkeley enlisted its own fighting force.
We are hugging for a peaceful world.
Code Pink. You may remember them from Operation Annoy Senator Feinstein.
Waterboarding is torture.
Or Operation Yell at George Bush Doll. And who can forget Operation Senate Interrupt? But their tactics in Berkeley may be their most innovative yet. They called it Don't Enlist, Stay and Kiss. I called it Shock and Awe.
It is our responsibility as the public to shut this station down, to shut this recruiting station down. Code Pink stands for free speech. It's very important to protect free speech.
Yep, yep.
And so we clearly have the right to be here.
If only there was an organization
was... You're not speaking anything that's incorrect. That you're just ridiculous.
That would be outstanding, right?
Why can't these Marines see that they have no right to be recruiting troops on U.S. soil?
The Marines, we don't need to be worrying about their rights. It's not an equal relationship.
That's obvious. Any giant-handed constitutional scholar will tell you that.
Wars in general would stop if we didn't have weapons, just like violence on our street would stop if we didn't have weapons.
So if we got rid of police, we wouldn't have crime?
Potentially.
It just makes sense. If they can shut down this recruiting center,
this?
It'll become yet another one of Berkeley's famous Crepes a Go Go. And world peace will be
2008-ish
Crepes a Go Go.
I think if we had a Department of Peace, it could reach down into every community talking about peace studies. And
you're the reason why we changed it from the Department of War to the Department of Defense.
I'm sorry, you think that could be a real place?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were totally kidding.
No.
Oh, I'm embarrassed.
With the Marines refusing to leave, giving Code Pink the last word was the least I could do.
This is Berkeley. This is the most peace-loving city.
U.S. out of Iraq!
Really? You're interrupting your own interview? Semper Fi, Code Pink. Semper Fi.
You know, the best part is you can actually hear where his trash talking came from the Marines. Any giant-handed constitutional scholar will tell you that. Operation Yell at George Bush Doll. Operation Annoy Senator Feinstein.
The intelligence of some of these people that think if we up and decided to get rid of the military tomorrow, just let them all go, that think we wouldn't be attacked in like a week.
Look, the only motivation for war is soldiers' rank.
Right. But I mean, if we got rid of our military...
Like, that's how that works. Like, all the privates and, like, corporals and everything get together and decide, you know what?
We're going to go kill someone.
We need to start a war.
So we justify our jobs.
Right.
And once you get up to a certain amount of soldiers, you literally have to go to war. That's,
yeah.
That's just, like, a cosmic rule of order.
That's like the speed of light being a constant. It's it will happen. It is. You can't go. Yeah.
How many of those people believe that dinosaurs and humans existed at the same time too, you know? I
mean, remember, speed of light's only a constant in a vacuum.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It depends on the mass density of the material being moved through.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I gotcha. Yes.
I don't think you gets it. No, there's matter that light can pass through, and matter it cannot.
So it is possible to move faster than the speed of light if light is moving through water and you're moving through air. Parallel
yes.
to the...
So it's only constant in a vacuum.
So therefore, Einstein is wrong, man. You can move faster than the speed of light, man.
No, that's a simplified theory called for it to be a constant.
Anyway.
Actually, it was relativity that first demonstrated that light would move slower through matter.
Right. I know. I'm talking about how some of these nut jobs would take it. If you're moving, if light's moving through water, it moves 40%. Slower than it does through a vacuum. So if you're moving at the speed of light in a vacuum, then you're moving faster than the speed of light through water. Therefore, you can move faster than the speed of light. And therefore, Einstein is wrong.
Even though... Never mind. Let's...
What?
Let's move past. It was a stupid joke and I fucked it up. But
you didn't fuck it up. I just ruined it.
It's nice to see that even then the regressive left existed. Cause I was like you can see the seeds of it. You can see the seeds of that
the
shit.
The Code Pink people were just anti-war protesters though. They weren't super feminists, that sort of thing. It was our sons right. are fighting the war, war is bad, end war. That wasn't.
Yeah.
And nobody agrees with ending war more than the people that got to go fight it.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah.
They volunteer to go fight it, though, Frank.
Yeah. So you don't have to.
That's why the military loves stupid people. I'm not wrong. I'm not dissing them either. I'm just saying that's they love stupid people.
Someone's got to carry the gun. Yeah. I don't.
Someone has to be stupid enough to volunteer to carry 100 pounds of gear on their back and run through the desert. Someone,
right?
Yeah.
But no,
I'm not. I agree with him, and I'm not disparaging that job. But It is.
I tried to volunteer for that job last year. Like I said, I'm not disparaging it.
I'm not saying you're not wrong.
Just to agree in any way would insult the military.
No. Oh, okay. They know that they're stupid fucking people.
No. We look at it as a necessary evil. Yep. You know, basically, I mean, think, you know, we're talking about movies earlier. Think about A Few Good Men. We were just talking about, you know, deep down in parts, you know,
you want to talk about, yeah.
Right.
You need me. You want me on that wall.
Right.
You need me on that wall.
And that's how yeah. all of us basically thought about it. And like I said, you know, I mean, part of the Marine, I'll read it to you. It's been so long since I said this. I don't know if I can. It's part of the Rifleman's Creed,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know if I've ever read for you before.
You have. It's been a while.
You know, everybody always talks about, you know, this is my rifle. You've heard that part of it. But mm-hmm. you see me wearing the shirt around. It
has, yeah.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. That's usually about as far as people get.
Because they watch Full Metal Jacket.
Right. My rifle. We actually had to recite this every night. As a almost like a prayer, like we'd get into the bunks and we'd be laying down at the position of attention, and
I'm assuming this is in boot, right?
This is in boot. Yeah.
Okay.
And we would recite this every night.
Because if you continue this after boot, you're a fucking crazy person.
every night we would recite this right before the lights would go out. After regular prayers,
mm-hmm.
which we did by the numbers too.
Mm-hmm.
We had three versions of prayers in my.
And don't forget to vote Republican. Lights out.
we did three versions of prayer depending on who was in your balloon. We did the Catholic prayer. We did the Protestant prayer, and then we had to do a Muslim prayer because there was two Muslims. Well, no, I take that back. We did four because we had one Jew. No. No, we didn't actually have to do the kneeling and all that stuff. But anyway, they got their chance to do their own prayer, so they weren't left out. Anyway, so we'd be standing at attention, getting ready to get into the bunk, and they go, "Ready, pray!" And we and you put your hands in front of you, put your head down, and whoever the lay person was for your platoon, for whatever religion, would do a prayer. And it was usually, "Oh God, let us enjoy this night and let us like wake up without getting our ass chewed by the drill instructor overnight." I'm in, you know.
Yep.
But we'd have to do that for each religion represented in the platoon.
All right.
But then after that, we would all get in the bunks at the position of attention and recite this, everybody, before, and then right when we got done, the lights would go out. Anyway, this is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend, as it is my life. I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless. I must fire my rifle true. I must shoot straighter than my enemy who is trying to kill me. I must shoot him before he shoots me. I will. My rifle and I know that what counts in war is not the rounds we fire, the noise of our burst, nor the smoke we make. We know it is the hits that count. We will hit. My rifle is human, even as I, because it is my life. Thus, I will learn it as a brother. I will learn its weaknesses, its strengths, its parts, its accessories, its sights, and its barrel. I will keep my rifle clean and ready, even as I am clean and ready. We will become part of each other. We will. Before God, I swear this creed. My rifle and I are the defenders of my country. We are the masters of our enemy. We are the saviors of my life. So be it, until victory is America's and there is no enemy but peace.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in the military would love nothing
to lose their fucking
than
job.
To put ourselves out of a job.
Yeah. That is probably one of the only jobs that they would love to lose their jobs to make it so they
don't. Well, people think that, you know, you're in the military, you must be a warmonger. No.
No. I want to put myself out of a
exactly.
job.
If I could go my entire military career and never have to do my job, that is an outstanding fucking military career.
Yep.
You know. And that's how people in the military think about it. Of course, people that have never been in the military, they start to think, oh, you joined the Marines just so you could go overseas and kill brown people.
Retards think that.
No, that's why they vote for Trump.
That's why I won't vote for
right,
Trump.
Right, yeah.
It's also why I won't vote for Hillary.
Nope.
So.
That did happen.
Oh, Hillary came out this week and said that she was going to be good for the military. Like, hopefully better than your husband was. I'm talking about somebody that fucked over the military more than any other president in recent memory. It was Bill fucking Clinton. I lived through it. I know.
No. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, that's one of those ones where because I was so young, I didn't actually get involved as much, so I don't know the particulars. And you also have a really
good budget was slashed, the policy changes, not don't ask, don't tell, and all that other shit right. really screwed the military pre-2000.
Okay.
And it wasn't really until 9/11 where the military started to become adequately strong again.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, Bill Clinton was elected president while I was at School of Infantry.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to diss the military, but the operations we got involved in, and I'm not in the military, this is a civilian saying, agreeing with you. The operations we took on or were involved with between, let's say, 92 and 2000.
Bosnia and Somalia.
We were nearly ineffective in. What fucking happened in Bosnia and Kosovo? Shit's still fucked up.
Yeah.
What happened in fucking Somalia? Shit's still fucked up.
Black Hawk Down. That's what happened in Somalia.
And it wasn't the soldiers' fault. It was training, resources, and refusing to move without allies ever. I'm not saying that we unilateral do everything, but it was like...
Now, you've heard me...
Hello, Pakistan? Are we allowed to go in? Who the fuck called Pakistan this week?
Right. Now, you've heard me say that I didn't think Bill Clinton was a completely horrible as a president.
Right.
Except for where it comes in his foreign affairs, military. Not foreign affairs, just the way he handled the military.
He handled Russia and shit fine.
Right.
He was a schmoozer.
He was good on domestic policy. He was really good on domestic policy.
And economics, too.
And even his foreign diplomatic policy was good. But when it came to the military and actually having to use military force or like that?
Yeah, no.
Clinton's advisory team on domestic policy was retarded good. I'm not giving Clinton the full credit.
Fair. That's fair.
His presidency, his leadership, blah, blah, blah. He picked those guys, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm giving him some credit for that.
Right.
But it wasn't Bill Clinton that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right. Well, he's the one that picked the team. You know, anyway, overall, I'm giving him a pass. I think he was a relatively effective president. Except for how it came to the military.
Yeah.
But then again, I lived through it.
Oh, yeah. As I said, I'm not... Right.
I didn't live through it. I was just aware of it at the time. And even I can back that statement up and go, nope. They tried their best.
I watched
the military tried their best, but their hands were always tied by anything from equipment, budget, to just...
Manpower.
Yeah, manpower and...
We're going through it now, actually. The same thing is happening now as happened then.
We overutilized allies that had agendas in the area we were operating in and shit like that, right. And we should have been more independent but not unilateral.
Right. No, that's actually not the biggest problem. The biggest problem that we had back then was what's called a reduction in force. Right after Desert Storm, of course, you know, Clinton came in and said, we need to cut the budget. Military, you're going to get rid of this many people, and we're going to implement a program called Up or Out.
So that's where the Up or Out concept came from.
It came from Clinton, yeah.
Okay.
And basically they said, if you don't make this rank by this amount of time in service, we're going to get rid of you. And I watched a shit ton of very good NCOs and officers
get
kicked
out
of the military because they couldn't get promoted, especially in the Marines, because they don't promote that fast in the Marines.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, the experienced leadership.
It's the only service where buck sergeant still means something.
Right.
Or sergeant still, he's an NCO.
Even a corporal, you know.
Yeah. Well, you got like 9 of those, so. Got Lance Corporal, Flag Corporal, Down Syndrome Corporal.
No,
Ammo Corporal, Gunnery Corporal, Sergeant at Arms Corporal, Color Corporal.
No. You got Lance Corporal and Corporal.
Ship Scrubber Couple.
Lance Corporal is actually like a corporal in training.
Yeah.
Corporal is your first NCO rank, and then sergeant, and then staff sergeant. You know. The difference between the Marines and most of the other services is that the responsibility for people begins at a lot lower rank in the Marines than it does in any other service. You're probably a squad leader as a Lance Corporal or an E3 in the Marines. Because you've been in for 3 or 4 years, you've got some experience, and you know what's going on. You probably graduate boot camp in the Army as an E3.
I know I have 2 friends who are in the Air Force. They did one went in as an E2 and graduated as an E3, and the other one went in as an E1 and graduated as an E3.
Right. The big difference here is you could easily make regular sergeant in the Army in a year or two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it would take you probably 6 years to get that in the Marines.
I got you.
But the sergeant in the Army is probably going to be a fire team leader, which means you're in charge of 3 other guys.
Mm-hmm.
The sergeant in the Marines is probably going to be a platoon sergeant, which means you're in charge of 40 guys.
Yeah.
You know, corporals tend to be squad leaders. Lance corporals tend to be fire team leaders. Even though on the MTO or the military I forget what MTO. Man, MT or MTO is basically who you're authorized and what for equipment you're authorized.
Yeah.
And it says, you know, like for a Marine platoon, it would say, okay, you're authorized as a staff sergeant as a platoon sergeant. 3 sergeants as squad leaders. 9 corporals as fire team leaders, and the rest PFCs and mm-hmm. Lance corporals.
Yeah.
The Army kicks that up about 2 ranks.
Okay.
The Army says, all right, you're going to get a sergeant first class as a platoon sergeant, staff sergeants as squad leaders, and probably staff sergeants or maybe senior sergeants as team leaders. Just because the Army promotes so much faster than the Marines. But then Clinton came along, and again, I'm biased because I was a Marine, and said, you must make this rank by this time. We don't promote that fast. Well, then you're going to have to get rid of all your people and then promote people, less qualified people, into those positions.
Yeah, that the minute I heard about the concept of up and out, I was like, that just seems fucking stupid. It just, across the board, seems like it's a straight try to bounce people out of the military.
It's exactly what it was. That's why we call it a reduction in force.
Yeah.
And it's still going down today.
That term didn't pull well, so up or out.
Yeah.
Definitely worked better in the focus groups.
But we called it being riffed.
Yeah.
You know, we never used the phrase up or out. In the Marines, it was, hey, what happened to Sergeant Evans? And that is an actual sergeant that I served with that got booted.
Riffed. Yeah.
We called it getting riffed. He got reduced in force.
Yep.
He was a very, very outstanding E5 sergeant that couldn't get promoted because there were
no spots for him. Yeah.
And got riffed.
That sucks. Yeah.
So let's take all of the people that actually know what they're doing and kick them out and then promote inexperienced people into those positions. Oh, but those people that we're promoting, those are the people that like to brown nose. And that's what happened over the course of the last 30 years, is the military has become more... You see, back in my day when I first came in, NCOs actually cared about their guys.
Mm-hmm.
Officers cared about their guys. And they would put their career on the line if it meant protecting their guys. Now it's all about me. It's about protecting my career. It's about advancing, because if I don't advance, I don't get to stay in and retire in 20 years.
Right.
So it's about sucking dick, basically. It's about protecting my ass. You know, okay, you think my guy fucked up? All right, go ahead and have him. You can have him. Just leave me out of it. You know?
Right.
And that's what it's become because of the reduction in force policy. I might sound a little jaded.
No, it's... So. As you're outlining this to me, it makes no fucking sense to me, but that...
Imagine at your job. You've been a...
I've been working as a customer service representative for 7 years, and I have not tried to advance at all.
Right. Imagine if your job said, you have to make it to supervisor by 8 years or you're going to get fired.
Yep.
You might be the best customer service representative they have in the building.
And I like doing this job because I don't want that responsibility of dealing with that, because it could potentially fuck with me.
You used to have guys retiring at 20 years as a private.
Yeah.
Why? Because they weren't leaders.
Yeah, exactly.
They knew they weren't leaders. Their command knew they weren't leaders, but they were very good
at the job followers. That they were doing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And forcing, and like, that's where I was like, you're forcing people that could potentially not want to do the job or be really, really bad at the job to try to get that so they can keep. And it's like, no, that doesn't sound. Some people need to be fucking ditch diggers. They like being ditch diggers.
Peter Principle.
Yeah.
Promote the people that actually deserve to be promoted and actually give a shit.
That want the job.
See,
yeah.
That's me. If I were president, the first thing I would get rid of would be the upper out policy.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because, A, I won't have to retain as many people, or I won't have to worry about recruiting as many people, because I'll be able to retain more of them. You're a very, very good Marine. You just can't get promoted. It will keep you.
You shoot straight and you follow orders. Sounds good to me.
You do your job. Are you capable of being a Lance Corporal in an infantry platoon? Yes. Well, I'm 30. Are you still able to do the job? Yes.
Yep.
Let's promote the people that deserve to be promoted, not the people that just managed to stick around long enough.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But...
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, because it was like, the minute I heard that concept, I was like, that just seems so...
You didn't make staff sergeant in 13 years? You need to leave. What if he's a really, really, really good sergeant?
Yeah.
I don't care. He needs to leave. He needs to make room for the next guy that might be an even better. But what if that next guy never comes? This guy is already a very, very good sergeant.
No, I totally agree with that. On that side, I see the logic. It's stupid. It's stupid fucking logic. But... And it's completely incorrect. I agree with you, it's incorrect. They shouldn't do it. But I see where they're coming from, and it's fucking stupid.
I take experience over rank.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It was some idiot that fucking came up with this process.
Well, no, I understood their thinking for it.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah, I understand the thinking process behind it.
But in practice... It was one of those things that they didn't think fully through.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said, hey, let's throw this out there and see if it sticks. Because this will apply across all services. Oh, we don't care if you can make staff sergeant in 4 years in the Army and therefore be authorized to a staff sergeant in the Army is an E6, by the way. You know, and once you hit E6, then you can go all the way to 20 and get a full retirement. You know, same thing in the Marines. If you make E6, you can make it to a full retirement. Odds are you're not going to make staff sergeant in the Marines, though, because they don't promote that fast.
Yeah.
You can suck the right dick in the Army and literally be a staff sergeant at the end of your first tour.
Yeah.
You know, you're lucky to maybe be considered for corporal or an E4 at the end of your first tour in the Marines. There's a reason why there's a website called Terminal Lance, which is an E3, a Lance Corporal. It's all these people in the infantry that can't get promoted to corporal because there's so many people bucking for so few positions. And guess what? You got to get out in 8 years because you couldn't make corporal.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Might be a very, very good Marine, but you got to leave because you couldn't make corporal.
So fucking right.
Well, there's 500 of us going for 3 spots. Well, you got to get out, so we have to spend $1 million to train somebody else to replace you. Maybe if we got to keep those guys, we wouldn't have to spend all this money training all these new guys.
And I agree with you. And
we could save some money on our military budget.
And then when those guys retire, we would have the money to pay their retirement benefits.
Yeah, see, somebody didn't think this all the way through.
And because you were good to them, they would be good to you. No, I don't know. I guess we're just idiots, Frank. I guess we're just wrong. And I have to preface this by saying I'm a fucking liberal. And I'm the one that's like, no, that seems stupid. That seems really fucking dumb.
It's fucking common sense.
Yeah.
If the guy's good at his job, why don't you keep him? Yeah.
But I want to stay in. Nope, we got to get out. But I'm really good at this job. Nope, I don't care. Yeah,
we agree. We agree. You were really good at that job, but you got to go.
You got to get the fuck out. But I
so long, and thanks for all the fish.
Yeah.
Here's your glass bowl on the way out.
Yeah. Get fuck, guy. Well, all I know is being a fucking Marine. What am I supposed to do now? Go figure it out. It's like, no. Nope.
There's some type of job placement service you guys like.
There nope. actually is.
There is.
They do. Yeah. They do have job fairs and all
budget
that kind
cuts,
of stuff.
It's gone now.
No, that's
budget cuts. It's gone now.
That's
Frank.
That's something they've actually kept around.
No, Hillary's going to become president. Budget cuts. It's gone now, Frank.
That could be. Hey, Bill never managed to get rid of them.
She's good for the military.
I think the reason why they're allowed. I think the reason why the job fairs are allowed to stick around is because the employers that are trying to hire these guys getting forced out are the ones that actually pay to put the job fair on. It's not the military mm-hmm. paying for the job fair.
Yeah.
All they do is provide the space that's already there.
Those are banned yeah. now. Those are banned now. Banned.
I wouldn't doubt it.
They promote the military-industrial culture, and that's not good for our allies. Russia said it. I was talking to them the other day on my private email server.
Well, the bad thing about it, the one bad thing about those military job fairs that they have for guys getting out, especially on the enlisted side, like when I got out after 4 years of active duty, I went to the job fair just for shits and grins. It was pretty much, do you want to become a cop or a truck driver? Those were really your only two options coming out.
Three.
Is there a third option? No.
Not really. Not unless you had a specialized job.
Yeah.
You know, like if you went in and did 4 years of, say, counterintelligence, whatever, this, that, or the other, or you had one of those really high techie jobs that you work at computers all day, maybe you get a job working for a gaming company or something. But for the average Marine, you know, infantry guy, or, you know, even me as a musician, see me, I went to college, that was different. But for the average, even mechanic, well, those guys a lot of times like aircraft mechanics. So you do 4 years as an aircraft mechanic and get out and get a job with one of the airlines. The guys that really got fucked in the Marines were the grunts,
the infantry. Yeah.
What does their experience translate to? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nuclear. The guys in the Navy that ran the nuclear program. That, granted, they had to enlist for 6 years, but they could get out after 6 years and probably make $100,000 a year getting a job at a fucking nuclear power plant or some shit.
My dad went through the Navy's nuclear program, the nuclear turbine program. He was in there for 6 years, and he then directly translated that into working in turbines.
Right.
And he doesn't even have a college degree. He never went to college afterwards. They literally like, oh, you went through
military
the nuclear
experience.
You went through the Navy's nuclear program. All right, here you go.
Well, the reason is because the nuclear program in the Navy is 2 damn years. That's why you have to sign a 6-year contract to do it.
Yeah.
Because you're going to spend the first half of your contract in school. But like I said, the infantry guys, oh, What does their military experience readily translate to?
Not much. Yeah.
Oh, you can be a cop, but you still have to go to the police academy for 16 weeks and do that shit over again. Because when I got out, I had actually applied and been accepted into the Denver police department.
Uh-huh.
The only reason one of the reasons I didn't do it is I had to go for the psych and the interview, you know, the actual in-person interview. You know, I'd passed the test and I'd passed all that other stuff. And I didn't have a way to get to Denver. I didn't have the money. And I didn't have a vehicle, so I didn't go to Denver. But that was pretty much my only option. You can drive a truck or you can be a cop. How about keeping those guys? You've already paid to train them.
Right? It's ridiculous. I agree with you, man. It is ridiculous.
How about pass? See, you get rid of the upper out program, and the first thing you do is actually start promoting the best of the best instead of the best of the rest.
Right.
Or the rest of what's left, actually, should be. Or the best of what's left is what I should have said. Anyway, Peach is nodding off right now. So, all right, Frank's ranting.
No.
Huh? Oh, getting tired? Or the one beer has hit you?
No, it's just the nature of doing it. It's...
Yes? Huh?
Can you come here?
In about 12 minutes. Speak English? All right, you guys talk for a minute.
Oh, man. I don't know. Let's see. No, it was pretty good, man. No, you do. It's just... No, I totally agree with you on that. On every aspect of that.
What were we supposed to say?
Good point.
No, you're wrong, Marine, about what happened to the Marines during a time when we were just starting to get pubes.
Yeah. I agree with you, man. Like, that's one of those ones I'll default to Frank's experience on that one.
We got back to the military again. Started out on movies.
That tends to be our wheelhouse, movies and military. And comic books.
A little bit of comic books every once in a while, yeah. Still need to see Star Trek.
I do too. I have not seen it yet.
I wonder how much money I got on my card.
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it tonight.
It'd be nice. It feels really weird not have seeing it. But then because of the way that it worked out last weekend, I didn't have it.
You want to know what the
emergency was? Don't embarrass her, though.
I will, because this will embarrass Matt as well. You know what the emergency was?
What?
You left a shit stain on the toilet.
Oh. Damn.
Like one little crusty and a couple of hairs, and come up here and wipe this off because it's your friend.
She literally could have just asked me to do that, and I'd have been up there and got it. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
What are you guys talking about going to see?
Star Trek.
He does have a dirty ass crack.
What guy doesn't?
it's not exactly Bermuda back there, like in the summertime for families, but I have never left a stain on any toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I want to go see it, mainly because I don't want to spend the money. Not that I wouldn't spend the money, it's just I don't have the spare money to spend, you know.
There you go.
Anyway, so you guys are thinking about going to see that tonight?
Yeah.
It feels weird.
Oh, it's been like 2 weeks and you haven't seen it yet.
It's Star Trek, and it feels really weird not having seen it.
Yeah. I did not go see the first one in theaters.
They didn't.
I saw the second one opening night.
Well, they didn't hype this one up like they did the first two. I don't remember ever seeing anything on TV, like a trailer or anything like that on TV.
Yeah, you know, it does feel like it's... I don't know if it's like...
It did
like,
creep up out of nowhere, but...
I don't know. It's like it kind of feels like they're like downplaying it a little bit. Like, well, no, I don't know.
It's not necessarily that. I think they just expected word of mouth to float this one out there. Let's see what happens if we don't spend $900 million on a budgeting campaign.
They just feel that, this is the third one. These people who like the first two will go see this one.
It could be. Then it was also competing against a lot of shit that's coming up. There's probably lots of spots for Suicide Squad next week. There was bajillions of them for Ghostbusters last week. Or is it 3 weeks for Ghostbusters or two?
It's two or three.
Something like that.
So it was probably just competing for a lot of airtime, and it couldn't afford it. And I know it's a big studio.
Which one is this one, Beyond?
Yeah.
The Regal's got it at 940, and you're talking about standard definition, right?
Oh, of course.
This has to be the third week for Ghostbusters, because Star Trek was last.
8 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Davenport. I don't even know what it did.
It was number one. For the last week,
but yeah. It was competing against Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It did $117.7 million
opening weekend.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
117, you said?
Yeah. Which is what Ghostbusters has made in 3 weeks.
Wah, 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 wah.
But the budget was $185 million. They'll make that back, you know, once it goes overseas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said, whether the budget includes promotional costs or is that just the cost of making the movie?
I don't see them making the Ghostbusters that all those visual effects or even Star Trek. That can't be the actual accurate budget.
No, I think that might be just be the budget of the movie and then they tack on more to promote it at the end. But that might be the reason that maybe they're not promoting Star Trek as hard as... A, I don't think they needed to.
No.
Because there's been two out. They're like, oh, it's about that time. Maybe it's time to bring out a new Star Trek.
You think like Chris Pine would agree to do another one for... Well, they could be on contract for it.
Oh,
you
sure
think they would
have
signed for less than like 800 or something like that?
Something like that, maybe. I don't know.
And then there's six cast members to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Star Trek Beyond opened with a $59.6 million opening this weekend, which beat the shit out of Ghostbusters. Which is both the biggest debut of the year and a step down for the franchise.
Yep. It is, yeah. No, it did. And Star Trek 2 was fucking huge. Huge. It was huge! I
mean, not Star Trek 2, you mean Star Trek...
Into Darkness, I'm sorry.
Wrath of...
Star Trek New.
Wrath of Nukon.
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's 7:54.
Oh, okay.
We can hit the 9 o'clock showing.
Well, you got the 9 o'clock showing over there at the Rave. You got the 9:40 over at in Moline down by Walmart.
Not going 9:40.
Not going to 9:40.
We go when we just go across the river. We're literally just right across the fucking river. Go to 9 o'clock.
It was such a weird time because you get out exactly at midnight.
Right.
But yeah.
Or you can see it on Vudu for $14.99.
Well, I donated plasma. You lose a liter of protein in your blood. It messes with your energy level a bit.
Right,
up
right,
and
right,
down.
Right, right, right.
until you get like an 8-hour period where it comes back. After
I've donated plasma before. I know what you're
talking about. I have not actually. I've never experienced that. Every time I've tried to go when I've been low on cash, they're like, you're like whatever is fucked up. You can't. It's usually having to do with like me being slightly dehydrated because I would go on Saturday mornings when I was like 22.
You ran with Chris and them, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, there's your problem.
And what did I do on Friday night, Frank? Back when I was in my early 20s, you watched a lot of it.
You got to have the hematocrit right.
That blow-up doll in your basement?
No, he was just drinking a lot.
Oh, yeah, I was drinking.
That was usually poker nights and shit like that. You drink a case of beer and your roommate, you're dehydrated in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before I go to bed the night before I donate, I drink three liters of water.
I'm like a Russian racehorse when I'm drinking.
Before I go to bed the day before I donate, I drink 3 liters of water, and then I wake up and I drink, before I go, I drink 2 liters of water.
Mm-hmm.
And I go there, and my hematocrit is average.
Okay.
I drank 5 liters of water in about a 12 to 13-hour period, and my hydration level is average.
That's crazy.
Right.
Well, like, here's the average, and here's where I am at.
Yeah.
They won't take you if you're below here, and they won't take you if you're above there.
Right. Plus, they're looking at your blood pressure.
How is your blood pressure?
It's okay.
I was just over the minimum, actually.
It's slightly obese over fat. That's mine. Yeah,
that's mine too.
Always normal blood pressure.
That's crazy.
I've always had borderline high.
Been fat after I was 18, and
I've always had borderline high. I've always been pre-diabetic.
My theory is there's something fucked up with my cholesterol. Like, I probably have a horse worth of fat inside of me, and they haven't measured that yet, but the blood pressure in there is fine.
Right. 18 years old, fucking 235s, 6 foot, 235.
Built like a brick shit house.
You fucked 235s? How did you do that?
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know you could do that.
You messed up one word and I jumped.
I was in Southern California for 2 years. Yeah.
Right.
I went beyond 10 and went straight to 35s. But no, I mean, just the...
You're fucking porn star?
Muscular,
Frank?
Let me ask you a question. Well, sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Let's say you drink 3 glasses of water.
Mm-hmm.
What is the average amount of time before you have to go pee? Like, you feel the urge, I need to go pee. Oh my God! But, I have
three
to go pee.
Glasses of water?
3 glasses of water, back to back. You're not chugging them and getting sick, but you're going glup, glup. So you drink it over 10 minutes, that sort of shit.
Probably about 3 hours.
3 hours.
Dehydrated.
Yeah.
You should have to
You are naturally dehydrated all the time, then. You should be drinking more unsugared liquid.
You should have to go within the hour.
Okay.
Because I drink this, and I usually, if I drank this in the time we were shown, it's half full, I'd have to pee by now, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. I've drinking.
And that's after they took a liter out of me.
I'm on my 8th beer right now. I've been up, three times to pee during a show?
Well, that's the alcohol doing that to you, though. That's a cheat.
Right.
But still.
Even then, I mean, it runs through me pretty quick.
What do you drink at your desk at work? Sodas? Or?
Usually water.
So you don't go to the bathroom as much during the work week, do you?
No.
Like, maybe on your break you might stop at it.
Yeah.
A lot of it depends on how much salt you eat, too.
Another good point.
Because I'll notice that when I'm driving down the road. If I eat a bag of chips or something like that, I can go half the day without peeing. But if I don't eat a bag of chips, then I'm stopping every 2 hours.
Cheese in your diet affects it as well. And your hematocrit level for that exact reason. It blocks you absorbing the water.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening live. Have a good night. See you next week. This is Frank, Matt, and Pete from Radio FUBAR, listening on TheMix.fm.
Bye. Bye-bye.